Oh, yeah, but I'm 10% Ashkenazi Jew.
Ah! Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, July 28th, 2022. This is your award-winning Geek Nation Media Assassination, episode 1472.
This is No Agenda.
Battling BA. And broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're battling a recession. Hello, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
I don't know which is worse, the recession or BA5.
Well, I get a kick out of this recession because the numbers just came in this morning. Recession, two quarters in a row of negative GDP growth, and which has always been a recession, but somehow for some reason they changed the definition.
The Democrats
changed the definition of women, and now they've changed the definition of recession.
Hold on, it's not just Democrats. No. How about our Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen?
A common definition of recession is two negative quarters of GDP growth, or at least that's something that's been true in past recessions. When we've seen that, there has usually been a recession. And many economists expect second quarter GDP to be negative. First quarter GDP was negative. So we could see that happen, and that will be closely watched. But I do want to emphasize, what a recession really means is a broad-based contraction in the economy. And even if that number is negative, we are not in a recession now. And I would, you know, warn that we should be not characterizing that as a recession.
I understand that, but you're splitting hairs. I mean, if the technical definition is two quarters of contraction, you're saying that's not a recession?
That's not the tech.
No,
that's not the technical definition.
It's like the technical definition is that's not it. That's not the technical.
She said what the technical definition is two quarters in a row. She said so, and then she says that's not.
Yeah, she screwed it up. The White House, of course, this is where this is all coming from because it's bad juju.
Today, the Commerce Department releases its much-anticipated report revealing whether America's economy is in a recession, depending who you ask. The report could show America's gross domestic product in the negative for a second consecutive quarter. Some economists say that's technically a recession. But the White House disagrees, highlighting areas of strength, including job growth.
The way that we see is that we are not currently in a recession or a pre-recession.
It comes after the Federal Reserve raised interest rates by 0.75 percentage point yesterday, the fourth rate hike this year.
I love it when they use pre. We're not in a pre-recession either, okay?
When did that term show up?
Because we're always in a pre-recession. Unless we're in
like
a recession.
Pre-death.
Yeah, thank you. I'm pre-dead.
Well, let's listen to these two. These are two different clips about the same thing on CBS and PBS.
Okay.
CBS, PBS. This is insane inflation talk on CBS.
We're not trying to have a recession, and we don't think we have to. We think that there's a path for us to be able to bring inflation down while sustaining a strong labor market.
The Federal Reserve's move follows consumer prices shooting up more than 9% in June compared to last year. KPMG chief economist Diane Swonk.
How does making things more expensive bring prices down?
Well, that is exactly, unfortunately, how you bring prices down is by increasing the cost of doing business.
When does that mean I can stop paying $12 for a loaf of bread?
So that this piece goes on about how
is a regular loaf of bread $12 right now?
No, this woman was bitching and moaning.
Oh, I was gonna say I missed that. I mean, it's a little different in the hill country.
You wouldn't noticed.
What?
So it goes on, starts with Powell, and you jacked up the interest 7.5, which is going to jack up this and jack up that and jack up this. And then, which is, Powell says, that will lower prices.
That's the best part. I love that.
So then the guy asks this other expert, she comes on, and, oh, yeah, that's how you do it. Oh, Please. So this is the PBS's version of this.
Biden administration officials are praising Senate passage of legislation designed to increase U.S. production of semiconductor chips. As WDET's Quinn Kleinfelder reports, there's been a shortage of the chips since the pandemic began.
The chips are a vital part of everything from military weapons to video games. They've been in high demand during the pandemic, but most are produced in China and other countries outside the U.S. The Senate wants to change that by providing more than $50 billion plus tax credits to convince U.S. companies to increase domestic chip production. Following an event in Detroit, U.S. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh said the move could also aid the nation's economy.
It won't necessarily address the issue of inflation tomorrow, but it is about down the road that we're less dependent on foreign imports.
The U.S. House must still approve the measure before it goes to President Biden for his signature.
Now, hold on a second, because there's two things at play here. I've done some research into the chips.
I want to hear that research, but first I want to stick with the inflation thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to do. Manchin, so I read this bill too, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, which is mind-boggling because you spend $400 billion, which I guess we'll have to print, to stop inflation. And notice how Manchin got COVID, and all of a sudden he's like, oh yeah, they've split up the Build Back Better bill into three different parts. The CHIPS Plus Act is part of that. It's like almost $400 billion that he all of a sudden, he's like, this is like the Boris Johnson thing. He got COVID, came out, and the man was compliant. Manchin goes in, gets COVID.
Something about that. It's getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
I also want to ask an obvious question.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we sent all of our fabs over to China in the first place was for what reason? To save money.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bring the fabs back over here, and that somehow is going to help inflation? Or is it going to just jack up the prices and make inflation worse? These people have no common sense.
Well, also, if you look at, now again, this is the CHIPS Plus Act. There were, I actually got into a lot of stuff by researching this particular act. Started off as the CHIPS Act in February. It had hundreds of billions of climate change bullshit in there, which is why, of course, it never went anywhere. Then that bantered around. Then the CHIPS Act got put into the National Defense Authorization Act, except it wasn't funded. And so this is the funding of that, but because notice the name of the bill is CHIPS Plus, there's still hundreds of billions of climate change crap in there. It's unbelievable. All kinds of science, research, nuclear, fusion, fission. It's bullshit. $55 billion of which any company that takes it must have at least 5% of their workforce in the United States. So you can be 5%. So you can be any kind of company 5%. Anywhere. 5%. Exactly.
You're number one.
So this thing has gone through this. Now we have to go into the House to pass this. And I think that this is what this obvious psyop about Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan is all about, because these chips, this money will predominantly go not just to overseas chip manufacturers, but this is a military industrial complex bill. And it has shit written all over it. This is not for your iPhone. This is for military crap. Which is as I'm revisiting the NDAA, I'm like, $830 billion. Do you think if we followed the money, we'd find out who's really fucking the world and it's just the military industrial complex? And do you think if we really looked at it, we have no idea what's going on inside that machine. And yet $830 billion for what?
Yeah, where's the audit?
And we had to give an extra $50 billion to Ukraine. Well, we can't take it out of our budget. Listen, here's Bloomberg on this so-called Pelosi trip. And I think the two are related here. I don't know why necessarily they feel they have to create this this marketing campaign. I would think that maybe in the House they'd have the votes, but maybe they don't because of all the climate change crap that's in there.
Well, this would obviously add more to the tension between China and the United States. We're not sure. The White House or the United States officials have not confirmed whether Nancy Pelosi, of course, the House Speaker's visit to Asia will include a highly sensitive stop in Taiwan. Nancy Pelosi has mentioned that it is necessary to show support for Taiwan. That doesn't necessarily mean she will make a stop there, but it is rumored that she would do so. And the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Beijing was asked about that possibility. And the rather hawkish spokesperson at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Beijing, Zhao Lijian, he said that China is getting seriously prepared for that possibility. Now, he didn't necessarily say what would happen, what retaliation, if you will, from Beijing would happen, but he did say that the United States must assume full responsibility for any severe consequences. And when he was also asked about whether his positioning or Beijing's positioning on a possible visit by Nancy Pelosi is, his wording is stronger than in the past, he said that would be right to assume so. So there is speculation, of course, that she will show up at some point in early August, but it's a guessing game right now. It would be the highest level visit by a U.S. delegation led by a House speaker in some 25 years at a time, of course, when military, trade, and other relations between China and the United States are fraught, to say the least.
So I have two more clips for this particular topic. Now that I think about it, maybe, you know, since, you know, Lloyd Austin has to come out and speak, oh, you know, we're prepared for anything against China. I think the military industrial complex is egging this on. They want some kind of move by China. And it would be even better if we gave our chips plus money to Taiwan. Wouldn't that be funny? Maybe we'd get, maybe spark something up. This even came up at the World Economic Forum on the panel that was America's future in the global economy or some crap like that. Here's the Commerce Secretary Raimondo.
We were prepared, as I said to you earlier, the United States was prepared to go it alone if we had to. But
this is about Ukraine, which of course comes right back to the war machine and the chips.
We had to, but we didn't have to because all of Europe, Taiwan, much of Asia came along with us. The final thing I'll say on this topic of kind of what have we learned and what's changed. War is no longer just about tanks and military equipment. Ground zero is technology.
Mm. Technology.
The United States is hobbling Putin's ability to conduct war by denying technology. Semiconductors. You want to talk about, you know, having an ability to have a military operation? It revolves around semiconductors, artificial intelligence, quantum computing, which means it's time for the U.S. to invest in that and lead in that more than we ever have.
Interestingly, the European Union has also just passed a CHIPS Act, literally called the CHIPS Act. So there's something that everyone's doing. It's probably China related, and it's definitely gearing everybody up for some war. Here's the final one. Senator Kelly, that jamoke.
Well, Samsung's plans come at a critical time.
Yes, this is about Samsung, who have set up shop in Taylor, Texas, about 45 minutes north of Austin. They've taken over this town.
Well, Samsung's plans come at a critical time. The Senate this week voted to advance a narrow chips bill to encourage companies to boost production in the U.S. I spoke with Arizona Senator Mark Kelly on the timeline for the legislation and whether he expects President Biden to sign it into law before the August recess. Take a listen.
We'll get this done Monday, Tuesday, probably by Tuesday or Wednesday next week. And then it'll go to the House. That's a much simpler process. We'll get it to the president. We'll get it signed into law. But the best news about this is this is so important for our national security. Semiconductor chips go in all of our weapon systems. But everything from your cell phone to your vacuum cleaner, the price of semiconductors have gone up, and it affects the costs for so many things for Americans. So this is going to bring down costs, secure our national security. And we're not going to have to worry so much about the actions of an adversary, meaning China, when it comes to our supply of semiconductor chips.
There you go. So what else is in here? We have Department of Energy, Science for the Future. This is all the CHIPS Act. We have High Intensity Laser Research Initiative, High Energy Physics Program, Fusion Energy Research. Sounds all very chips related. We have Software Security and Authentication. This is the National Institute for Standards and Technology. You get a piece of this money. Federal Biometric Performance Standards. Artificial Intelligence. Neutron Scattering. Screw these people. Liars. It's filled here. National Science Foundation for the Future. Oh, man, they get STEM workforce data money. Incorporation of art and design into certain STEM education. This is filled with bullcrap.
This is the new version of pork.
Yes, they just put a plus behind it. It's chips plus. Here we have fundamental research in unmanned accelerating unmanned maritime system technologies, unmanned aircraft system technologies, food, energy, water research, climate change research, research ethics, sense of Congress in the mall. Study of AI research capacity. I mean, the whole thing, the CHIPS Act is really just the first section, which comprises about 20 pages. And then there's all this other stuff. And the original version of the CHIPS Act had hundreds of pages of exemptions for import duties. So the way I read it was, okay, so you're going to stimulate the sector for semiconductors in the United States. All these other people who have good lobbyists went, oh, yeah, well, we need to have tax lowered, import duties lowered or removed. And there was stuff in there like yarn, very specific, you know, color 43 yarn, certain types of chicken baking systems. I mean, and hundreds of pages. So
pork.
Yeah.
This is like the crap and trade bill.
This is worse, actually. And the result, and I think if you just look at, if you step back, you see they've just split up Build Back Better into three kind of chunks, all roughly, you know, about $300-400 billion. And they're just ramrodding this through. I think the CHIPS Plus will pass because of, national security.
Yeah, and it doesn't really involve national security. The Chinese will still be making the chips. The Chinese will still be selling the chips through the back door to Russia. And they found a Russian plane recently, I guess in Ukraine or something, crashed.
Yeah.
It's filled with American chips.
It crashed near Greece. Didn't it crash near Greece?
It crashed somewhere, but it was filled with our ships.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
Well, the point is...
And how did... Let's stop and don't even try to discuss that. How did China get all these fabs in the first place?
Well, we let them have
it. I don't remember a day when all of a sudden Intel shut down its Santa Clara fab or Motorola shut down all its fabs outside of Austin and shipped them all to China. When did that happen?
No, I don't think that happened. I think manufacturers or companies like Apple decided it was cheaper in China.
Yeah, but Apple's like is a small potatoes player in the chip world. They just make chips for themselves.
No, I mean for their computers and for their phones before they were doing this. I mean this goes back decades.
And they've been doing it from the beginning because they had their operation in Malaysia.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what did China, I'm wondering, these chips are Intel chips or Motorola chips? What are they doing being manufactured in China?
Are you asking a rhetorical question?
No, I'm asking a real question.
Because it's cheaper.
Yeah, well, and why is it that much cheaper?
Because they use slave labor and don't give a shit about their citizens.
Those fabs aren't labor intensive.
Because they just undercut the price.
Best price.
They have state sponsorship and undercut. So we're fighting them with their own fire. We're sponsoring... oddly enough, we're sponsoring their guys in our country. 5%. 5% of the workforce has to be here. Please.
Yeah. Please. Means those are five sales guys. So switching gears to BA5 or whatever it is that you have.
Yes.
I will say that I've been working with you for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only time ever in a total of a 15 years and you've gone through colds, you've had COVID before, all these things. This is the only time when you actually sound sick.
Yes.
You do not sound, you have not blown, you used to be able to, like a pro, blow past the sounding like you have any ailment whatsoever.
Yeah, well, that's because I'm congested. I can make the voice blow through, but I can't blow through the congested sound. That's just what it is. I can give you a boots on the ground report about this.
Yes, I would think we could use one.
Yes, of course, very disappointing because the only thing I can think about is what an incredible waste of time for these a-holes who put this out there. It's a waste of time. You sit around just feeling like crap, and energy and time and productivity is wasted. It's evil, evil, evil.
You talking about the developers of the virus?
Yeah, of course. The Wuhan lab, Fauci, all these a-holes.
Yeah, well, it's a weapon.
You know, once we convict Fauci, we shouldn't put
That'll
him
to, be the day.
We shouldn't put him to death. No, we just need him to shave his head, you know, walk him naked down Fifth Avenue or maybe down Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. And then every year we'll just do it again. Just until he's
well,
dead.
Now that you bring up Fauci, I do have some Fauci clips. He's back.
Do you want me
with
to
new material?
You don't want me to complete my boots on the ground?
I want to play the Fauci clips. What I'm doing is I'm milking.
I like it. Yes, I like it.
Your boots on the ground. Because all now right. People are going to say, well, what happened to Adam? Why does he sound so crappy?
They got to stay tuned. They won't learn unless they sit through the Fauci clips.
So Fauci, after, you know, we've heard all these clips, they'd be like, Tucker likes to play, you know, Fauci saying, you get the shot, you'll never get sick.
Yeah.
And so it changed over the year. It's been documented. So here's what this is from yesterday. This is the absolute latest Fauci. Here we go.
Well, you have a virus that continues to evolve with new variants in the context of vaccines. Although they are highly protective against severe disease, the immunity that's induced either by prior infection and or by vaccination is an immunity that predominantly is against severe disease, but it wanes. That's characteristic of this particular virus. You know that from the experience that we have with the common cold coronaviruses, where you can get reinfected with the same virus 8 months, a year or so later, which is the reason why now I just left literally about a half an hour ago a vaccine summit at the White House looking at the next generation of a pan-coronavirus vaccine as well as vaccines that can be administered by the nasal or oral mucosa.
Okay.
Because that's the first time I know that he's ever acknowledged that natural immunity.
Well, he has to at this point. The studies are out there.
And then now he's brought in, and I knew they were going to bring this in eventually, the common cold. But what they haven't mentioned is that all these are futile because the next step to the bringing in the common cold as an example of anything is that no vaccine has ever been
developed
made to combat a coronavirus of any sort.
Right. And they've tried.
And they're trying with this new one, pan-corona.
Pan-corona.
Let's go with him going on and on in part two.
Any decisions out of that meeting about what could come next? I know a lot of people are wondering what will happen next with new boosters, whether to get a second booster now or to wait for new boosters that could protect for the Omicron variants.
Well, that meeting was directed at the agenda of knowing we need vaccines that have greater durability and breadth and that protect not only against severe disease, but that protect against acquisition and transmission.
Really? Oh, that would be nice. Acquisition and transmission. It's like
is what this was supposed to do, if you remember.
It's so interesting. Okay. No, but it's interesting because to say it will stop acquisition means that you catch it because you acquire it because you know you don't have antibodies or immunity against it. Transmission, will there ever be something that can stop you from actually transmitting? I mean, if you're infectious, then you're infectious.
What do you interpret? I don't know what you're interpreting this. It'll keep you from catching it.
That's acquisition. Yeah. And transmitting
it. No, if you won't catch it, you can't transmit it. It's just logic.
Exactly.
It's
not so why is he saying we'll do these two things, acquisition and transmission? It's the same thing. It should be.
Yes, it is.
But you cannot.
Catch it, you can't transmit it.
But I don't think there's... Correct.
Oh, he's just, you know, he's a word patter. He likes to add stuff to his dialogue to stall. He's a staller. He doesn't like to just get to the point. I think it's just the way he talks. I don't think it really is a plot.
Really? At this point in our life, you're saying Fauci is not part of a plot?
I mean, in the sense of what he's trying to say here.
Yeah, backpedal. Okay.
backpedal.
No part of a plot.
Okay, let's go with his wrapping this up.
Nothing to see here.
That's a very important aspirational goal that we've got to get to very quickly. With regard to the evolution right now, the FDA has made a decision that the boosts that will be available in the fall will be a bivalent boost, which is made up of a BA5 and the ancestral strain. Hopefully that will be close enough to whatever variant evolves as we get into the fall and into the winter. That is a compelling reason why you need a pan coronavirus vaccine, namely one that gets all of the variants. And that by all of the variants, I mean ones that we've already faced and ones that we might face as the virus continues to evolve.
What I find the most fascinating, not really, but what is so obvious is that it does not matter what studies come out. It does not matter what VAERS has been registered. It does not matter.
No, they're not paying.
No, they will continue to go ahead and tell you to take vaccines, boost. They will not stop. There is nothing. Well, there's nothing that will stop them. They don't care. They really don't. And they just and the media is lockstep.
Oh, the media is horrible. But let's go back to that clip. He mentions the bivalent, meaning they're going to have a kind of target BA5, which will be gone by then.
Yeah.
And they're going to target the ancestral strain, which is already gone. It's completely gone. It's already evolved into these Omicron variants,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
Now, I think they're trying to reintroduce the original because that was the best one.
We need the OG.
Seems to me. Why would they do that? Why are they going to bring in?
It's like COVID classic, baby. COVID classic. You never change.
Bring COVID classic so they can reintroduce it into the general population. They're trying to kill us.
I completely agree. 100%. They certainly show no action that proves otherwise. No, they are trying to. And so, okay. So Tina had a, she took a trip. She was meeting with a friend of hers. So who she knew when she lived in Florida, very nice people. And the wife was in Utah. At their house there. So Tina flies out. They're going to have a girls' weekend, you know, like 3 days. Actually, she flew out, I think, I can't even remember now, Wednesday, and then came back Saturday. Now, on the last day that she was there, her friend, who is double jabbed and fully up to date on the boosters, got COVID.
Boosted!
And it was interesting because it's almost as if there's some binary element to it, because she had just said, you know, I've been through this for 2 years. I haven't got COVID. Boom, she gets it. And you know, so Tina just, you know, she's actually stayed at a hotel that night and came home the next day. Day after that, Tina's, you know, she's got it. And she tests and she's positive. And of course, 2 days later, I get it. What's fun is that Tina's like, social distance, stay away from me. I'm not going to do it. I said, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. And of course I got it. And now she's like, I told you so. Which is really helpful. But this feels very much like a traditional summer cold. That's why me. And now Tina's experience is a little different. She has a very crappy dry cough. Just, you know, like there's some.
That happens with summer colds.
Yeah.
And of course, a summer cold, which is not your normal, you know, winter cold.
No.
A summer cold is always coronavirus. It always has been. It's not the rhinovirus, which really can't survive in hot weather. But the coronavirus summer cold version it can and it does, and it creates a summer cold. And that's what this looks to be. Yeah. It's just a nastier one.
Yeah. And
I'm going to stop again. If people recall, almost anyone out there can remember that every so often there's a year where the summer cold, it's always called a bad summer cold.
Yes. Yeah. A bad summer cold. Exactly.
It's always got a summer cold and this year there's some bad summer colds going around. That's what this looks like. And why people are all freaked out like that is, I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like it too.
You have a bad summer cold, but no.
I don't have the brain fog. It's a little bit of loss of taste. Stuff tastes a little different, but that seems, we both immediately started slamming the blister pack. So, who knows how much that helps or doesn't help. Just fatigue, but also not like the last time, which was February.
Yeah, that was closer to the real COVID.
Yeah, because that took me 10 days to fully get over. And I feel that I'll be much better today. So, I get my appetite back. And now my head is completely congested. That's different from the previous. So,
But that's more like a cold.
Yeah, it feels just like that. Now, I'm pissed off because I don't get these typically. Last time I had a summer cold was 2014, I think. And even with the flu, or as we'd say in Europe, the grip.
The grip.
The grip, yeah. The grip. I'd never got it. And so, to have something twice in 1 year is, yeah, anyway. I do have some information because, we're taking the D3, the blister pack, all that, to help Tina get to sleep. I figured I'd go get her some NyQuil. It could maybe suppress the cough just a little bit. And it's basically liquid meth. So, which is kind of, if you want to sleep, I'm not a doctor, but that's how we do it. Like, I got to sleep. Let me slam some of this stuff. And we never shared any of our NyQuil preferences. And I didn't know if she liked red or green. And I bought the new and improved honey. And let me tell you, NyQuil honey is possibly the most vile thing you can put into your mouth.
It makes it sound like it's better. I was anticipating it's the best thing ever.
It works. So that's fine. But oh my goodness, that is nasty. Just nasty.
They probably put some nasty stuff in it and they had to put some honey in there to try to cover it up.
Probably.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But in general, the problem is they keep recommending the boosters for people who are already vaxxed and boosted. And from all the literature I've seen and what I can understand, that's what creates these variants. That's what propagates these variants. And there's maybe even possibility that they're creating little special variants just from one person that's a little bit different than this. And I also think that they probably, the whole reason for the boosting is if they stop boosters, people will start dropping dead for real en masse.
Or it'll just all go away.
Oh, that would be my preferred outcome. Yeah, if you stop the boosters, then the variants all go away. Good point. Good point.
Can't have that.
Meanwhile, we still have
why they're reintroducing the classic, COVID classic. COVID classic will be in that next booster.
You and I both read a little bit of an article about Deborah Birx's book where it's unbelievable, but she was in this book, which is just recently published. She actually, in her book, believed that those videos from China of people falling down on the street were real. And she based a lot of her decisions upon that.
So now our government officials are basing their decision making on YouTube videos.
It was worse. It was TikTok videos. It was TikTok videos.
TikTok, YouTube. And I saw them on YouTube.
Yeah.
My TikTok video viewing is more specialized. Another TikTok for today.
I'm sure. Okay, let's look at some adverse events. it is usually kind of important to take a look at what's going on. This now we have no idea if this was vaccine related, but in all the years I've been on television, I've been in television, been in the industry, you just don't see many people fainting on camera.
It just this is a good one.
Just doesn't happen.
I wish
that
they
often.
Kept the camera on her.
Totally lame. This is a leadership debate for the conservatives in the UK. And this poor young woman just collapses. And it's great for the show because the audio is phenomenal.
The UK government has said it will stand with Ukraine till the end. How do you keep people on side? How do you keep people with you when they are suffering and things are likely to get worse?
Well, the cost of not doing anything to stand up to Vladimir Putin is immense. If he succeeds in Ukraine, he's not going to stop there. He's going to
Bullshit.
Challenge the freedom and democracy.
And I'm always amazed at how people who are on television, their response when something happens like that, the first thing is, but I'm on TV, I can't move. That'll expose that I'm on TV. You know, they're stuck in the headlights. Should I just walk out of frame and help this poor woman? I'm hesitant.
Yes, that was Liz Truss.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be the new Prime Minister of UK. Mm-hmm. I don't think the other guy can beat her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a dud. Like, you know, she's...
At least she went down to help the lady after, you know, after this moment of.
Well, she was the look on her face was the best part. It was her eyes bugged out, and it was like, what happened?
Her eyes did bug out. You're right.
Her eyes bugged out, and then she froze for a second. Then she decided to do something, which was
with trepidation. You know, very slowly stepped over there. Yeah, we should have had the ISO camera.
Yes, they should have had the ISO camera. But this is there's a good chart. I just posted it on No Agenda Social.
Mm-hmm.
Just up right now, it's a chart of all the athletes that are dropping dead in the field of play. And in January, they're like 87. It's average is usually around 60 or so. And now it's jumped up to these numbers that are noticeable in a chart.
Mm.
And
it's interesting how you look at European athletes. Who and we've talked about this when it first kind of started. You know, the number of adverse events amongst American athletes in the NBA and NFL, I think is almost, is it maybe one or zero?
I think there's somebody in maybe football, but the NBA had none.
Yeah, and I guarantee you it's because none of these team owners were going to stick anything in their $100 million a piece investments ever. Ever. These guys didn't get vaxxed. No way. The soccer players, of course. Oh, yeah.
Hell of them.
Exactly. It's a shitty sport anyway, right? Now, one person not sitting still, and we are very appreciative of her very, very loud and very clear voice, is European Union Member of Parliament, Christine Anderson.
Oh, yes. This is your beat.
She keeps bringing the heat, man. And this is in the European Union Parliament. This is not just her spouting off at some news event. She does this in the round room.
This vaccine campaign, it will go down as the biggest scandal in medical history. And moreover, it will be known as the biggest crime ever committed on humanity. That is actually what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen.
I like her scriptwriter, too. This next piece is the best.
Oh, you got more? Good. You should just keep getting... She should be a regular on the show.
She could do the show. With either one of us. If we can teach her to run the board, she's good to go.
I will just say this. I mean, what in God's name have they done with this? It is absolutely... It's actually unbelievable. And what I'm going to say now, I will say to each and every elected representative of the people in every Western democracy, I am asking you, what have you done? You didn't do your job. And do not tell me you didn't know. because anyone could have known. And if you have bothered enough to care about the people, if you had bothered enough to do your job, you should have known. And moreover, it is your damn job to know. It is your job to protect the people that you were elected by and that your job is to represent. Once again, I'm asking, what have you done? Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, she's not done.
There is so much coming to light. Of the adverse side effects. There is numerous studies now available on fetal disfigurements. There is genetic defects from babies born to women that got vaccinated. What in the hell is going on here? And I do not, who is the beneficiary of all this? Well, I do know it's the pharmaceutical companies, of course. But once again, we as the elected representatives, we need to do our jobs. And I'm really glad that there is MEPs here today. I can only say we will do whatever it takes to bring all of this to light and to make sure that the rights of the people will be protected once again.
We'll see. But at least she's out there saying it in a public forum. They can't deny
she
that.
She got applause.
Yeah, she did. Of course.
I don't know if it was a smattering. You couldn't tell, but there was enough that you could hear it.
There's enough. But the European Parliament has no power. They don't get to do anything.
They have clip power.
Clip power is not to be underestimated. Like Ron Johnson. One of our senators, who I think has clip power, and he should be as explicit as Anderson is, but he is asking for help in this matter.
If you are a whistleblower in the Department of Justice, the FBI, please come forward. If you want to restore integrity and credibility to your agencies, come forward and tell Congress and the American people understand the truth. I would also make that appeal to people working in our federal health agencies. Our response to COVID has been a miserable failure, largely because our health agency has not been transparent. I've written 43 oversight letters to the agencies where I've gotten responses. They're non-responsive responses. Generally, I don't even get answers. This lack of transparency must end. We must restore congressional oversight because the American people deserve the truth. You know, every one of these confirmed secretaries or agency heads come before Congress, they raise their hand and they swear that they will comply with legitimate congressional oversight, and then they don't. This has to end. The American people deserve transparency, they deserve honesty, they deserve the truth.
Well, the writing is on the wall. The CDC will be blamed. The faceless, nameless CDC will get all the blame, and they're starting to push anti-CDC stuff out there. And the first thing I find is, and I think we knew this, that CDC has a very interesting background. They're based in Atlanta. So they're not based in Washington, D.C. Why are they based in Atlanta, you ask? Well, they came from the military after World War II, and they were basically the military malaria defense organization. That was their job, was to combat malaria. That, of course, expanded into other areas very quickly with help from one of the Coca-Cola guys who are based in Atlanta. And so that's where they got land and that's where they built their offices. And it's because these big industrial corporations needed to harvest stuff in countries where malaria was a problem or any other infectious disease. And it would be cheaper for them to, you know, to help set up the CDC. And the CDC is, interestingly, they are also a 501(c) nonprofit. Have we talked about this ever before? Do you remember this?
We've talked about the history a little bit, but I don't think we've talked about the nonprofit status.
Yes, and this was very controversial when they set it up, because people were saying, well, you know, doesn't that seem like you could have influence on the CDC if you take donations from private entities? I guess they worked that out and it's okay, but annually $200 million runs through the 501(c), and I have all these links in the show notes under Big Pharma. And you know, you can already guess what's in there. Now, they don't really show you all the donors and all the grants. That's not a requirement under the rules of a 501(c). But they do have a number of pieces in there. And obviously it's, oh, here's $30 million from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to go test this or go try that. So the whole thing is completely captured, corrupt, almost from its inception. So that'll have to go. I'm sorry?
There's been a lot of writing recently about the failure of the regulate. It's called the regulation state. And that is what we're in. We're a regulated, we're all the regulators eventually get corrupted and by the people they're regulating. Yeah. And that used to be just the regulators themselves that got corrupted, but then it became the Senate oversight committees, which are all corrupt. And I think that was that Ron Johnson clip was very funny, because it's like whistling in the wind. It's bull crap that anyone's going to ever tell you anything, because even the Central Intelligence Committees has two oversight committees, one in the House and one in the Senate, that have been completely sold out to the CIA and the other intelligence agencies. They're not overseeing anything. They're not firing anybody. They're not doing anything. And in fact, when Dianne Feinstein was running one of them, she was basically badgered by the CIA. They took her, you know, they started spying on her.
Spied on her.
And she made a big fuss about it. And nobody says, well, I don't know, blah, 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 look the other way. I mean, all the other people in the agency, and they finally put this other character in charge when the Republicans took over. And it was this Burr guy who was just a stooge. And it's just pathetic. And this is totaled across the board. Everything has been co-opted completely, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Here's the most recent co-option that is hilarious, because we followed this. The FDA, Food and Drug Administration's top tobacco scientist, has left the FDA. He personally signed off on his future employer's application in 2020 because, yes, he is going to Philip Morris. And in 2020, he signed off on the IQOS, you know, the smokeless tobacco that we've been talking about, waiting for its introduction.
Yeah. One of your things.
So there it is. Yeah. He shepherds the application through, makes sure it's all on the up and up, and then he gets a cushy job, I presume, at the actual company for which he did the favor.
Yeah, this is common.
Now, I know it's common, but it's disgusting.
We can say it as much as we want. That's disgusting. And everyone goes, oh, I don't know. Should I get another booster? Oh,
what? And you know, I was thinking about this. It doesn't surprise me in the United States that we're so easy to take the vaccine into our lives. I don't think people, I'm sure people are conditioned to not pay attention to what they're putting in their body. I mean, just look at what we're calling food. And in fact, you, John C. Dvorak, you are a super dodger. You have not had the COVID at all, as far as we know, not officially. You might have had it early on, but you're a very healthy man. You know, the average age of in America for the American male, I think, is 73.4 years old. So, you know, you're like, in 5 years, you're dead. But no, because you're really healthy. And I believe that's because you don't eat any processed shit. You don't eat any prepackaged stuff. You cook for yourself day and night, do you not?
Pretty much. And I also drink a lot of Bordeaux.
Thank you. My next point. Now, is two glasses a day too much, or should I, or can I keep it? Is it that okay?
Well, I think if you want to hear my honest opinion, I don't do this. I probably did 30 years ago, but I think you can drink a bottle of wine a day.
Nice. I remember when you, there was some point, maybe it was 8-9 years ago. You're like, nah, I got to come back on the drink, and it's getting a little too much. I think you caught yourself going off the rails on the drink. You remember this?
Well, I never drank more than a bottle of wine a day.
By yourself?
But I've had guys come up. I don't drink. I drink about a glass a day now. And I've lost a lot of weight. I think it's a key to success. You want probably one good glass of Bordeaux a day.
And is it Bordeaux specifically that will keep you healthy?
I think so.
Why? Why would you say the Bordeaux? Is that, that's
well, I think the chemicals in Bordeaux are probably more aligned with health than all the other wines. I would get arguments from people. There's a belief that Pinot Noir is a longevity grape, mm-hmm. which is Burgundy's.
That's what I drink. So I drink Pinot Noir.
And a lot of people, a lot of the rich elites mm-hmm. drink Pinot Noir pretty much exclusively. Mm-hmm. Generally not the cheap Pinots you drink, which are quality. It's a quality wine. You're drinking Mio Mai mostly.
No. I've gone off.
Oh, you're drinking. Okay. Well, you're not drinking. You're not drinking Echezo or any of these high end Burgundies. You're not drinking Romani Conti.
No, not today.
As opposed to people like Larry Ellison, Will Hurst. Those guys are big Burgundy drinkers,
right?
And they drink the high end ones,
right?
But this theory about the Pinot, and so everybody that's been a Pinot grower, like every one of them up in Oregon, they all drop dead on almost the average day of the American, you know, where you're supposed to die. I don't see any examples of Pinot drinkers that live a long life.
All right, so. Well, I'm switching to Bordeaux then. I want Bordeaux. I don't want the lame ass elite shit.
No, you can drink whatever you want.
No, I
want
to be like John.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, my point is.
I do have my burrito once in a while from Taco Bell.
No, of course. Yeah, it's okay to have some shit, but you got it. I mean, I'm just looking at the complaining that people are doing, and I'm looking at what they're. Someone sent me a mac and cheese ad for. It's like Sport Pro. Because this mac and cheese, a silhouette of a lady like running a marathon. You know, this mac and cheese is all the protein you need. I mean, the marketing has been incredible, and it's all processed, and it's not food, and it's just shit. And people are just lapping it up, and they wonder why they're sick, and they wonder. I mean, that's the one thing the CDC or anyone has blamed yet for people dropping dead. If they just said. Well,
no, motherfucker, that's not happening.
Was eating processed food all day. You know, that's why it dropped dead. No. Of course, they'll never say that has anything to do with the vaccine, but.
A new study says regular napping may increase your risk of health problems.
There you go.
The study found adults who take irregular snooze have a 12% higher risk of developing high blood pressure and a 24% higher risk of having a stroke compared to those who do not nap.
Nap for humanity.
All right. So now napping will kill you, which conflicts with the climate change.
This is such bullshit.
I
took a nap yesterday. I'm going to explain my nap, my typical nap taking. So I'm listening to a 1.5. I downloaded an hour and a half of NPR.
Wow.
And so I'm taking clips from it later in the day. And then I'm playing something. I don't even know what it was. I conked out. Just conked out. And I look, and I woke up after about, it had to be a good half hour because all of a sudden it went from, whatever the time was. Yeah. And I missed like about a half an hour of the NPR stuff. It was going into my brain subconsciously. And I felt bad about that.
Yeah,
I didn't
want
to go back to see what it was.
It's very dangerous.
So I went back to doing some clips. I have the clips on the show today. And Fauci was one of them. And that was a nap because this horrible droning of NPR just knocked me out. I fell asleep at the computer.
That could actually cause strokes.
Well, with that material, yeah.
Listening to NPR, it could be hazardous to your health. Hey, the Dutch government finally just came out and said it. I want us to be the first because it'll be a while before. Well, everyone's on the Holland train, or as many people say, the Danish farmers. It's amazing. Everyone knows, what is it called? There's a term for it. When something's in the news that you really are an expert in and it's all bullshit, you have to presume that everything else in the news is bullshit.
Yeah, there's
a term for that.
Yeah, Scott Adams, he tries to bring this up. I think I don't think it's true because there's a lot of stuff that both you and I are expert in. And somebody will come up and they have the bull crap and you go, oh, this is bull crap. I I changed my opinion on that. I don't think everything's bullcrap. I just think you really have to think twice about taking it in. In other words, I become more skeptical, but I don't think it's all bullcrap.
Well,
hello.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I fuzzed out.
You fuzzed out, but the Alex Jones brings a lot of stuff in that I know for a fact is bullshit, and a lot of his other stuff. So okay.
I didn't even know what the question was that I asked that you're answering. What are you answering?
Wow. The
There's a term. Here you go. There's a term. It's the Gelman amnesia effect.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. That's all I wanted. I didn't need to go to Alex Jones.
I want to talk about Alex Jones on today's show.
Yeah. Though. Okay. Well, let me get into the big news. This is what the Dutch farmer revolt protest is about. This is what anything that is related to food intelligence, farming, food supply chains, the United States, Europe, and certainly Canada is on deck next. So, it started off with, we have a crisis. It's a fertilizer crisis, but okay, it's nitrogen. So you have to chop your farms in half and just get ready for it. This caused the big consternation. And now in the Netherlands, in the papers, the Dutch government came out and just admitted it. It's coming. It's the Great Renovation. And the term in Dutch is Grote Verbouwing van Nederland. So the big renovation of the Netherlands. And the term renovation in this context for Verbouwing in Dutch is always used like if you're renovating your house. But just for context. So they're going to renovate the house, and the house is the entire country. And this will last until 2050. There will be 900,000 new homes built by 2030. And they tell you right where they're going to be, 220,000 in Amsterdam. And this is the Tri-City. This is where the Netherlands just becomes the big bedroom community, as you called it. And they've laid it out and they said, we're very sorry. It's going to cost tens of billions of euros, but we're going to do it. And there's no way back. And that's that. We have decided.
So the hell with farming in the Netherlands,
has nothing to do
with self-sufficiency, the hell zero. With all the rest of it.
And it comes on the same day that they announced now that the population of the Netherlands has hit 18 million for context. When I moved there in 72, it was, when I was conscious and a teenager, it was 14 million. It was 14 million for a long time in the Netherlands. And even at 14 million, with a country smaller than the smallest state in America, Rhode Island, it was as dense and sometimes even more densely populated as Japan. And so guess where the 14, well, then we were 17 million for many, many years. And this was after a huge influx of immigration. And now 1 million people in the past year have come in. So what do they say? Look, we have all these wonderful people who have come in. You know, we let them in, of course. So now we need to have a house for them. So the system makes total sense. Flood. I mean, you cannot get a house in the Netherlands. If you want to just rent something in Amsterdam to go to university, the university is saying, forget about it. Unenroll. You can't attend. You can't attend us.
Unenroll. Get out.
So they've done it. And I guarantee you the people of the Netherlands will be just compliant to go along with it and nothing will change. And I'm sad actually that I won't be able to see how messed up it is in 2050. I'm pretty sure we won't be around then.
Maybe
at the end there I can laugh at him.
It will be it's grand scheme. Yeah, you said this compartmentalizing thing, so you make it a bedroom community.
Well, this is sustainable development goals. This is, this has been laid out. This is documented. This is not just a thing. They're doing it. They're moving ahead. And 10 years ago, they started with this process, and now it's like, oh, shit, I didn't read about that back then. Yeah, no, of course you didn't. And just to prep them all, I think I have a clip on this. Yes, here's the clip. From Al Jazeera, of course. How could you get it from any Western outfit?
Nearly half of all the gas Europe needs comes from Russia. The supply is now down to a relative trickle.
Come winter, if European countries don't have enough supply stored up in time, it means certainly almost it will be a struggle to heat homes and power cities. Abdullah Shami, Al Jazeera, Brussels.
Well, last week, the European Commission proposed a 15% reduction in gas use for all member states and suggested it might have to make those cuts obligatory. Well, many countries resisted that, so the agreement just reached in Brussels is a compromise with a voluntary cut of 15% from August to March. The agreement includes opt-outs so that countries can cut less. States that are heavily reliant on gas for electricity can avoid the reductions. And it's the same for countries exporting 90% of their gas capacity to other EU states. An EU official said Hungary was the only member state that opposed the gas reduction agreement.
Troublemaker. Yeah, so there's an agreement. Everyone needs to... Every country needs to cut by 15%. Of course, we'll carve out for our favorites. But good old Holland, good old Netherlands. Oh, we're at 30%. And Christina texted me yesterday. I said, Dad, my rent, I was lucky with the raise there, but the gas prices? And she's reliant on gas for hot water and for heating her home, her apartment. And even it's the same thing Germany went through. Now the industry is going, hey, whoa, this is a little too expensive. We have to shut some stuff down. No. This is very significant. And I see no way out for a country like the Netherlands that has been so captured and the people are so compliant. And I think we're going the same way. Everywhere. Did I bore you to death?
No, I mean, it's interesting. I think you're right. I mean, I'm not arguing because these schemes have been underway for some time.
So long.
Probably longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking more about what is Putin up to? Because Putin seems to be throwing a wrench in the works every chance he can. He's been cut out of the deal.
Every deal.
He's been cut out. The Russians have been cut out. No. You guys are not cooperative enough. And so now they're causing trouble. We're not cooperative enough. Okay, we've been sending our gas to you guys at, you know, whatever price the market is. We're not jerking around with the market behind the scenes. We're just sending you stuff. And it's by the time we got to putting a Nord Stream in. We got another one coming. And now you're blocking it? Now you're doing this? Now you're doing that?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. And you were cut out of all these deals you guys are pulling, these you elites. And so then he, you know, throws a wrench in the works. He's always been the one guy, if you remember, long before the Ukraine thing, we talk about it,
mm-hmm.
that he's the anti-globalist.
Oh, totally.
He's always felt that globalism was some sort of thing that was to screw him and Russia.
Which was true.
It was.
Makes sense.
But he wasn't having any of it. Nobody wants to discuss it in geopolitical terms. He's just a bad guy. Putin.
Yeah. Well, I think...
In fact, my friend that's the Ukrainian who was born and raised in Russia,
mm-hmm.
and knows both sides of the thing, but he's hates, like everybody else who's Eastern European, they all hate Putin.
Yeah.
I've never run into anyone from any part of any of those countries, Croatia, any place else. They all hate Putin.
They're raised to hate him.
So it's not
they're raised to hate him.
They're raised to hate Putin.
The one thing I've noticed, though, is that
Russia's really well hated, but that there's some sensibility because the one thing I've noticed that Putin hasn't done, he'll send a missile over here and he'll blow up something and he'll take out an apartment building or whatever they're doing, those generals. They have not sent anything or done anything in the city of Lviv.
Dude, they had a concert, an outdoor concert in Mariupol.
Well, but that's been half destroyed.
Well, it didn't look destroyed. It was a nice outdoor amphitheater. No,
the the part, the industrial part's all gone.
Oh, well, of course, that's what you want to destroy.
But the Lviv, which has got nothing going on in that regard, there was one missile that took out some NATO headquarters that was outside the town.
Yeah, whoops.
But the Russians aren't destroying the valuable, they haven't really bombed Kiev. They, you know, they want to do this. They want to kill, what's his name? Volodymyr. And they won't send a missile in there to blow up the Senate. I mean, there's things
they won't do.
So okay. They have some respect for these old places.
In my mind, it's pretty much settled out there in Ukraine. And I think it's been divided and they're working on, they're already starting to negotiate together. But for the West, this must be continued. This is the military-industrial complex. There's $50 billion worth of weapons going all over the world, except Ukraine, apparently, because they're always complaining. We got no bullets. We got no this. We got no chips. We use motorcycle batteries. I recognize a script or a playbook. And, you know, the minute Olena Zelenska, because you, of course, you know, they do understand what a man and a woman is in Ukraine. You know, Zelensky becomes Zelenska. Her speaking in front of Congress for me was like, oh, okay, that's it's over. We're really afraid of Volodymyr's for his safety. So the guy's a goner. Just accentuated the point by putting her on the cover of Vogue magazine. Can I remind everybody what happened to Assad after his wife was in Vogue magazine? That's when they come to get you.
The other thing is, there's something so ludicrous. This is a war going on.
Annie Leibovitz, on the ground in Kyiv with photos in the subway with sandbags. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I agree. You can't have this kind of, it's like, oh, it's just beyond me that they try to pull this off and they get away with it because she's nice,
so glamorous. Oh yes, and this picture inside of them, he's holding her tight and they do look worried. And then then she's standing in between other female Ukrainian soldiers and it's porn. And if you look at the picture of them in his office, I guess you can see in the background on the couch there's portraits of him that are framed that people have given to him. They're just casually placed there. You know, the stuff. Oh, I haven't put myself up on the wall yet. I know this goes. The guy's a Hollywood. He's an actor. He's an actor.
He is an actor. He's literally an actor.
Yeah, he's an actor. So he's acting like an actor and he's about to get fried. He's going to get fried. They can get rid of both of them. They can do whatever they want, but not until Taiwan is set. We need to have movement over there, and nothing will get resolved. They'll just keep on trickling money because there's no money going to Ukraine, no cash. It's all going, and there's secondary, tertiary weapon sales. It's crazy.
Let's stick with Ukraine, and here's my report. This is Holly Williams, who, by the way, Holly Williams, who's the foreign correspondent for CBS. I wanted to get the take on her from Lara Logan. They have to know each other.
Oh, okay. I can probably ask that.
So Holly Williams, and I think Holly's really good, by the way. I think she's a good reporter. But this report is a bogus report. She's in Ukraine with some Americans who are training Ukrainians how to shoot a gun. And it's like there's 20 Ukrainian soldiers. It's bull crap. And it's like this report, oh, here's what we have to do. Just listen to this garbage.
U.S. military veterans on the ground in Ukraine are working to turn the tide of the war. CBS's Holly Williams is there.
Never point your weapon at anything you don't want to shoot.
In an old quarry around 10 miles from the front line, a group of former U.S. servicemen trained Ukrainian soldiers today.
Nothing else matters unless our bullet is going where we want it to go.
Many of the Ukrainians only signed up after Russia's invasion. Some have next to no experience firing a gun.
Fire!
This is a five-day course. They're also learning battlefield first aid and how to maneuver.
These guys need help. They're responding to a fight. They didn't pick it, from what I know. Let's help them out. Whoa.
The lead instructor, Rob, told us he was a sergeant in the Marines and comes from Arkansas, but won't share his family name for security reasons.
Do they have everything they need?
Absolutely not. They're only issued 4 magazines. That's 120 bullets. Doesn't take long to shoot 120 bullets, especially at a bunch of Russians.
This Ukrainian fighter goes by the call sign Bison. The American trainers, he said, may be the difference between life and death.
If you want to win the fight, you need to be alive. The people who are not trained, they will not last long on the battlefield.
Yeah, this is very reminiscent of my trip to Iraq in 2003, where the U.S. military was very happy to shuttle me around and take me to the training of the Iraqi Defense Forces, which was, and we've discussed this, Keystone Cops meets Dad's Army. About face, half of them turn right, other half turn left.
Yeah, I love had no the idea Keystone how to, Cops I mean, analogy.
Had no idea what they were doing, but this is another part of it. And I don't blame anyone in the military, but the leadership of our military is corrupt as anything. And so now you have all these groups. And I think that, you know, it's a lot of, you know, you get to retire after, you're still young to do stuff when you retire. And then you can go out and you can contract for the U.S. military or for CIA or for any other of these, you know, tens of organizations within the U.S. government who will pay you to then go and be a mercenary in Ukraine. And I have reports of probably 36 retired military killed in action in Ukraine. The whole thing is an entire industry. We just don't really see it. We just whatever war. But your neighbors are probably, yeah, I mean, think about how this, I know the military people listening know what I'm talking about. I mean, just look at all this stuff. You come out of the military and then you can roam around for years all over the world getting paid for stuff.
Yeah, what's a job?
Yeah, but it's not healthy for the world and
for anything, no. Including the people doing it.
No, it's very unhealthy and it's annoying.
So I'm reading Defense One came out with a briefing today, newsletter, and they said that the Army is keeping tabs on every bullet and the dollar amount of everything they're sending to Ukraine.
Oh, sure.
And after they're done, they're going to have a total. They're going to take it to Congress and say, we need this money because we gave it to Ukraine because you told us to. And then really? Of course, it meant, yeah, I know.
Wait, did they say they were going to put every bullet on the blockchain?
No, but they should. They and it's mentioned that all this is just what we said at the very beginning. They're dumping inventory.
Yep.
To get new gear, because they can't have a turn. They got to turn over everything, so they want to get rid of as much old inventory as possible. Mm-hmm. Give it to the Ukrainians to resell it someplace else, and then to use some of it. And now the Ukrainians want another 100 of those missile systems. This is just a bunch of bull crap if ever there was.
Yeah,
it's just like it's just an open it's an open sore.
This is, Trump was really smart in hindsight when he not that he wasn't smart, but when he got in, what was the first thing he did? The first thing he did is he said, "All right, here's $800 billion for the military. Biggest ever. The biggest thing I could ever do." And then he goes to Saudi Arabia, sells $300 billion worth.
No, it was not that much, but it was a lot.
It was $100 billion a year, $100 billion the first year, and then was another $200 billion up until 2025. Because I know.
Yeah, he was actually a pretty good sales guy.
Yes. And he screwed him on Air Force One. He said, hey, no overrun costs on Air Force One. Now, Boeing's $1 billion in the hole for each plane.
Yeah, because, they were used to the old, well, it's costing more than it should. We have to charge you more. And no, he put that in there. No, you don't.
So he got
nobody. No other president has ever managed to pull that stunt.
Right. But he didn't do enough. Because at the end,
he's Putin's stooge.
At the end, he didn't do enough. He didn't do enough for anybody. I think the military, he was on to them.
Was the problem.
Oh, yeah. The military, I'm sorry. This just, I'm going to stay on this for the rest of my days now. It's so obvious. I just look at the money. Oh, yeah.
Good money. We're in the wrong game.
If Pfizer made some money, okay, Big Pharma made some money, sure. But it's no military industrial complex.
No.
That's 10 times the
small
money.
Small potatoes.
10 times the money. Now, they do
and
have...
And they're still not audited.
No, no.
Because,
no,
you know, we try to audit, but, you know, the different departments, you know, we can't, we don't have, oh, I know what it is. We don't have the same computer systems from department to department, and they can't talk to each other. So there we can't, there we, hey, that's the reason we can't do it. That's what they did.
Yeah, typically this
exactly
is
exactly what they said.
Yeah. Was it, who was the defense guy?
You know, if you give us $100 billion, so we can upgrade all the computer systems at the same time.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, that'll do it. Who was it? Who was the douchebag, the ex Monsanto guy who was defense? Just before 9/11, he says, hey, you know, there's $2 trillion we can't find at the Pentagon. And that was September 10th.
Yeah, 2001. Right. It was like the day before.
What was that guy's name again? It's I forgot.
Somebody in the troll room, if they're on the ball, they should know who this is.
Rumsfeld. Hold on a second. Rumsfeld.
No, it wasn't.
It was Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld, definitely. Here it is. I got the clip. This is from CBS. It's the whole piece. It's worth it. We might as well remind everybody, since we're so forgetful. If I see one more clip that has done the rounds 3 years ago coming back as totally new and cool, like the Dutch protester who tells the BBC to F off. Yeah, that was 3 years. That was 2018. It's amazing.
Well, there's another one that's going around. It's actually pretty good to replay.
Of Whoopi. There's one of Whoopi saying Dr. Jill Biden should be.
Oh, yeah, that's starting to float around.
That's
again
coming
too.
Around again. And it's really annoying.
Was it Whoopi or was it the Behar?
Was it Behar? No, I thought it was Whoopi.
I think I just saw it again because I was thinking the voices start to meld.
Anyway. Here's Rumsfeld.
Pentagon, the day before 9/11, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld declared war, not on foreign terrorists.
The adversary is closer to home. It's the Pentagon bureaucracy.
He said money wasted by the military poses a serious threat.
In fact, it could be said that it's a matter of life and death.
Rumsfeld promised change, but the next day, the world changed. And in the rush to fund the war on terrorism, the war on waste seems to have been forgotten.
My 03 budget calls for more than $48 billion in new defense spending.
More money for the Pentagon when its own auditors admit the military cannot account for 25% of what it already spends.
According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
$2.3 trillion with a T. That's $8,000 for every man, woman, and child in America.
Yeah, and it's 20 years ago.
To understand how the Pentagon can lose track of trillions, consider the case of one military accountant who tried to find out what happened to a mere $300 million.
We know it's gone.
All right. Yeah, that report goes on forever. But yeah, there it is.
Yeah, and then just because these whistleblowers got excoriated, fired, and beat up.
Disappeared. Yeah. No, there's no accountability. Yeah. Well, let's get back to something funny then. And I'm surprised. Well, yes.
Well, I have something funny.
Okay.
And it's a little off topic. I mean, it's something we touched on, but this is about this basketball, the black basketball player that was arrested in Russia.
Oh, Griner.
Griner.
Yes.
Who is a, what is it called when you're privileged and it's like not white privilege, but you have a feeling that you should, the world should be, you know, handed to you. It's a, what's the words I'm looking for?
Millennial.
She's got basketball privilege. She was a big complainer. This took
entitled.
A knee.
Entitled.
Entitled. She's always bitching and moaning about the white man and how they're entitled and their white privilege. And so, of course, she expects the same thing in Russia.
Yeah.
Now, I have to play these two clips because they're short, but, First is the rundown. This is Griner and Blinken, because Blinken has gotten involved with swapping her out, which would never happen to a normal person. But OK, let's play that clip.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he plans to speak with his Russian counterpart soon for the first time since the start of Russia's war in Ukraine. But Blinken says it will not be a negotiation about Ukraine. Instead, Blinken says he will encourage Russia to release, as he puts it, wrongfully held Americans, including basketball star Brittany Griner.
So the State Department's getting involved. So then I just pulled this little short piece out of the blue. This is the Griner. I'm going to set it up. The Griner arrest hilarity. And I will say this played straight. Nobody noticed the unbelievable irony and stupidity of this particular clip. Listen to this.
Griner was arrested after she landed in Moscow in February, just days before Russia's invasion of Ukraine began. In court today, she held up photos of her wife, family, and friends before testifying she wasn't read her rights at the time of her arrest.
Because, you know, like, there's a constitution of Russia, man, you know, or like the American constitution, like covers over. So it's technicality. She let me go.
Wow. And it went on about this. She wasn't read her rights. What?
Russian rights.
In Russia. What an idiot. And then the fact that the NPR people,
Miranda. Wait, she wasn't Mirandized. That's what it is.
She wasn't Mirandized. Might as well say
what,
that.
What is that in Russia? Babushka?
I don't, you know, it's just like, wow. You people.
Yeah, she's quite a card, man. I've read a little bit about it. Of course, I had no idea about the controversy, but she's basically working in Russia. You know, it's like if you're taking a paycheck, you should know what the hell's going on over there.
I think that's, to me, another example of an ugly American. They think everything is the way it's here. Yeah. You go there expecting the same everything. They expect a certain kind of service. They expect a certain kind of this and a certain kind of that. They expect to be read their rights. Give me a break.
It doesn't really matter, but it's unclear to me if Brittany Griner is trans or what. I mean, I know
she looks like a dude.
Yeah. It doesn't matter per se, but it's like,
it doesn't matter, if you're a basketball player.
In this case, yes, she's in the women's league. I don't know.
But generally speaking, from what we've seen, is that the women who are trans, like let's say she was, they tend to brag about it.
Right.
There's no evidence that she's trans. She's a big, big girl.
Interesting. Of course, the rumors they're swapping out Victor Boot, like a hardcore criminal, for this.
Victor Boot, I think, was set up. But Victor Boot was a Russian guy who was a arms dealer, and he was just a freelance arms dealer that was kind of supported by the Russians, and he was doing a lot of deals that benefited them, and he was, you know, outfitting people that needed arms, and then I guess he outfitted one group of terrorists that were going to shoot an American, and the USA got a hold of him in Europe, or I'm sorry, in Asia, and you dragged him back over here as though he was some, you know, it's one of those deals where we just have the long arm of the American law,
right.
And we threw him in the slammer. I think he was, I think this is exaggerated. Dr. Death, or whatever they call him.
There also seems to be zero evidence that Russia has even asked for him. This is just like, oh, we'll give you this guy.
I don't know if that's true. I think they are asking for him.
Okay. Now, let me get to my funny bit and then we'll take a break. Because this
funny bit. Hold on.
Here we go. Funny bit.
Funny bit coming up.
I don't know if it's that funny. I think it's funny because this monkeypox business started. We know when it started. I don't understand why the mainstream media has not gone back. The M5M has not gone back and gone to patient zero, which is clearly the lady who touched the monkey when the dump truck hit it. Remember? They haven't completed that loop yet.
I remember that. Yeah. Yes. And there was some controversy. We played clips about it.
Yeah.
There's some controversy. She shouldn't have touched the monkey.
Yes, she touched it. I think we called the show that we titled it Touch the Monkey. She touched the monkey. She was showing symptoms, whatever that means. I mean, this whole thing completely reads like contagion. I mean, it's fantastic. And now we have CDC Director Walensky, who... This is such an incredible 24-second clip. We're probably going to play. I won't even stop and laugh the first time around. So we know that this is spreading amongst, well, it was gay men. Gay and bisexual men is how it started. But I don't know exactly what where the pushback came from or if they're just tongue-twisted because or tongue-tied because they're trying to make the woke language work for everybody. But now they've digressed down to men who have sex with men instead of gay and bisexual men. I don't know exactly.
I think this is part of the move to change the language completely. I think gay men are out.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah.
And because I noticed another thing, I don't have a clip of it, but there was a big fuss made in the queer community, because it's the queer community, which they call themselves that, and nobody else is. There's no LGBT community anymore. No, it's queer community.
Yep.
So they're the ones who pushed the change. You cannot say transsexual anymore. It always, no transsexuals out there. It has to be transgender. And they're making a huge fuss about changing transsexual to transgender.
Okay.
So this is a big, big operation going on.
It is. And listen to the hilarity of what CDC Director Walensky is actually saying.
We do have seen now two cases that have occurred in children. Both of those children are traced back to individuals who come from the men who have sex with men community, the gay men community. And so when we have seen those cases in children, they have generally been what I call adjacent to the community most at risk. I should also mention, importantly, those children are doing well.
All right. So besides the fact that everyone cracked up over her saying the men who have sex with men community, which is really stretching the newspeak, lady, this is about two children. Two children got monkeypox from the men who have sex with men community. What? What is happening? Where's the question? Excuse me. Were these children? Children of parental men who have sex with men community or something else?
I mean, no, it invites a lot of questions that I don't see being asked.
I will mention,
I have to note that the very beginning of this thing, she's already
stumbling.
I'd say flustered. She says, we do have seen.
So again, listen to it's children.
We do have seen now two cases that have occurred in children. Both of those children are traced back to individuals who come from the men who have sex with men community.
So what, were these maps?
NAMBLA!
I'm telling you, man, there's something up with this shit right here. This is
NAMBLA!
Well, maps is what we say now. We don't say maps is minor attracted persons.
No, but NAMBLA is an organization.
No, I know.
You not remember NAMBLA?
Of course, the Man Boy Love Association. Hello.
Yes, love is Man Boy. It's just, it used to be the standard punchline for Jon Stewart's gags when he did Shaggy Dog stories.
Yeah, not so funny anymore. Now that the men who have sex with men community have been traced back. I mean, everything about this report, and it's not a report, it's the CDC director clearly lying about something. So these two children have monkeypox, we traced it back. Well, what did you have to, where were they? Were they in the house? Are they their parents? Or just casually walk by and say, oh, he's such a cute little kid. Oh, I gave you monkeypox. Come on. One more time. I got to hear this one more time.
We do have seen now two cases that have occurred in children. Both of those children are traced back to individuals who come from the men who have sex with men community, the gay men community. And so when we have seen those cases in children, they have generally been what I call adjacent to the community most at risk.
generally adjacent. What do you mean, like, generally? Like, there's some kids who are in the men who have sex with men community?
Yes.
This came up on... This is so the AIDS playbook. It's unbelievable. And you're right. It's not the AIDS. It is the queer community muscling them out. Muscling gay and lesbians out.
Yeah.
By stigmatizing them. And Ned Ryan, who is, I guess he's a Republican strategist or some douchebag like that.
Oh, yeah. I think he's a Republican. Yeah, of some sort.
Yeah. So he was on Fox News with Kennedy. So it must have been Fox Business News.
Yes. This I saw this too. Yeah, he says, yeah, this, you have the clip?
Yeah, let's play a little bit.
As for monkeypox, I think there's a pretty good rule in life. Don't attend gay orgies. When you look at the New England Journal's report of the 500 gay orgies that are reviewed.
Ned, come on, man.
It's not about gay. How about not any orgies?
Go look at the New England Journal's report that NBC News reported on Friday, in which of the 528 cases they reviewed, 95%. We're between sex between men.
This is what I love about this clip, and it goes on for a little bit, is this guy is all in on science. Hey, I read the journal. It says it's gay men. So logically, only gays get it. I mean, that's how this numbnut is thinking.
I think we actually have to have a serious conversation about where this is coming from. When I'm done, Brad, you can talk. Instead of going crazy and declaring a national pandemic when 3,000 people have it right now, it's insane.
I don't know, man. You don't have to be gay to get monkeypox, and you don't have to be bigoted when you talk about treating something that is that easily spread. Right?
It's not bigoted.
Yeah, it is.
This is science, Kennedy.
It's science. It's science. It's for the gays. I'm sorry, men who have sex with men community.
95% of the cases from the New England Journal.
You know what? I'm going to let Brad respond. Okay,
Let the gay guy talk. That's what she's trying to say.
Brad, because Brad, we had 372 doses. The United States, in Denmark, where the smallpox, monkeypox vaccine.
I think she means 370 million doses, but okay.
Manufactured.
375 doses.
Whatever.
Ready to go, but because this has been an issue for more men in the gay community, it seems like it has been lower.
What happened to saying gay? What happened to just saying gay or gays? Why do we have to put community behind everything? Does that somehow soften the blow?
Well, it does with the no agenda community.
On the priority list.
There you go.
Brad.
Yeah, look, Ned is right. He says that monkeypox right now is mostly affecting gay men. The problem is that public health-wise, not going to orgies in general is a good policy to not get sexually transmitted.
Yes, thank you. Not going to sex orgies is generally a good policy.
Diseases.
100%.
And so we have to be really careful. We saw with the AIDS crisis, with the HIV crisis, about how certain communities or certain gay people will be stigmatized over something that lots of people do. And we got to be careful about that.
Yeah, you're right, John. You nailed it with that. This is the queer community who are trying to control everything, completely stigmatizing gay men.
Yeah,
completely. And they're behind it, and they're evil.
And they're also something. It's a new term I found digging around because I look at these clips. There's many of them, many if not all, of the queer community members. Or smugly. There's a post again in No Agenda Social showing an example.
Smugly.
And it was brought up by somebody after he saw the probably five or six of these libs of TikTok women.
Mm-hmm.
They're always women.
Mm-hmm.
Or they, them. I don't know what they're, if they're not, they're whatever they are. They're queer.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have this smug look on their face.
Yeah.
They're all smug.
Oh man, I thought I had this clip. Goodness, I missed it.
Well, since we're on the topic, and we might as well get out with this. This is the TikTok teacher. This is my most recent teacher. It's a two-parter. She's on talking about how preschoolers should be educated, sex educated, so they're very familiar with the queer lifestyle.
Hi, I'm Linz. I'm a queer and trans educator and children's performer, creator, writer. You might know me from my web series, Queer Kid Stuff, where I talk about gender and sexuality stuff for all ages with a preschool audience in mind. And I write for preschool television, do a lot of stuff in early childhood ed. The short answer to this question is that we need to talk to preschoolers about sexuality and gender because any later is too late. The long answer to this is that this is the age when children start to self-identify. They start to understand themselves and in relation to the world around them. They need to understand different gender diversity because the Academy of Pediatrics actually says that most children have a solid understanding of their gender identity by the age of 4, and that is inclusive of cis as well as trans and non-binary kids. Preschoolers need to understand sexuality because of the world around them.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you teach them some other things like war?
Well, so the idea is to get them early, which is an old theory.
Yeah.
Get the kids preschool. She's advocating that the queer community, which yes. is specific to these people, wants to get a hold of your kid when they're a preschooler so they can introduce them to the queer community.
Yeah, sounds perfect.
If somebody said that was a Christian and they were going to introduce, they wanted to get the kids introduced to
religion,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Or the Catholics want to get them introduced to the Pope. Anything, but the people be up in arms. But you know what? This is fine.
Yeah. It's the compliance. Let's
bring a Muslim in and have them introduce them to Allah. Let's do that. The Quran. Read the Quran to the kids.
I think that everyone feels and is so captured, and everyone's afraid for their livelihood, to be kicked out of their community, to be, you know, possibly lose your job, to be shunned, to be looked down upon, or to be different. It used to be okay to be different or have a different opinion. And parents have been, they're afraid. And the just compliant parents, that's it. We just have a lot of compliant parents. Okay. Well, I give them mac and cheese. I don't see what could be wrong with this.
Yeah, I get a time code there, please.
Yes, you got it.
Now, you want to hear some more of her? She goes on for another minute.
Yeah, of course. I want to hear this.
All right.
Yeah, this is very educational.
They might not identify with a sexuality yet, but their parents do, and their friends' parents do. And in order to understand different family structures and other people's experiences and develop empathy, they need to understand queerness. Preschoolers are exposed to sexuality every day. Just look at literally any Disney movie where there is heterosexual kissing. It is normal to talk to kids about straight relationships and straight couples and nuclear heterosexual families. So why should queerness and queer families and queer sexuality be any different? Kids as young as preschoolers need to understand gender and sexuality in order to develop empathy for others and to be able to understand themselves in relationship to the world around them and the people around them. Once you get past this age, it's a lot harder to undo and complicate the ideas of the kind of cis heteronormative world that these kids and we are in.
Oh, that's great. So, because of course these are parents who watch this. Oh, well, we don't want to be seen as exclusionary. We did the wrong thing with our child. Instead, let's get their programming in, which will be very hard to undo.
Well, this reminds me of the clip we played last time amongst this series I'll be playing for a while, where the teacher found out that her, I guess it was a first grader or second grader, was trans out of some reason. And not because she encouraged it, but because the kid came to her, you know, it was a safe place and she was trans. And so she went to the parents with this information.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that she could help the kid move toward this trans nature. And the parents said, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They're all in. So the parents, and there's a lot of that. I mean, we know, personally know people that whose kid, you know, 3, 4, 5 year old yeah. decides, you know, he's a little boy, wants to be a little girl.
Boom. Here comes the trans machine.
And here we go.
What do you mean, here we go?
They become a little girl. Yeah. Parents are all in on it. These are not isolated situations. I mean, the situation, there's that one in Texas we talked about where you had twins and one of them wanted to become a little girl. Right. And so they became a little girl. And with the parents' blessings. So, you know, if the parents are all in on this sort of thing, having done enough research, you'd hope they don't, of course. What are you going to do?
Well, hopefully parents see this. And maybe in the parent community, they'll catch on that something's up with this. And it may not be the healthiest thing for your child. But then again, maybe not. I don't know. That's a lost generation, John. It's a lost generation. Yeah,
let the teachers take over the job. Yeah. Because I guess the parents don't care.
Well, honestly, the parents haven't had no opportunity. You have to work two jobs. Most kids growing up are in single-parent households, mothers mainly. Fathers are absent. This started in the black and brown community with the no man about the house rule for welfare recipients. That, of course, eventually spread to white
community. Yeah, so it was institutionalized. It was institutionalized by the government to create the situation we're in.
Yeah. And then these people move in. Predatory. Feels just predatory.
No, it's totally predatory. Yeah.
No, I'd like to have some numbers on the queer community. How influential is the queer? Why doesn't anyone campaign? Why shouldn't the politician just be out there saying, are you queer? Vote for me. Hey, Jack, if you don't vote for me, you're not queer. Why not?
That's Biden. That's good. Caught me off guard. I got the Jack. It's like, if you're not black, you know,
yeah.
Good joke. Good callback.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the COVID classic, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
In the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. Also, in the morning to all ships at sea and boots on the ground. Feet in the air, subs in the water, and all the dames and knights out there.
Oh, man, I'm so happy to hear the sheet metal is back. In the morning to the trolls in the troll room. They've been very patient today. Good to see everybody here. That is trollroom.io, where you can listen live to the show on Thursdays and Sundays. And they've contributed. They've been very helpful with some of the, like, Entitled. They told us it was Entitled. Many other things, one-liners, although most of the good ones are mine. But also it's just fun to have everyone. It's like a studio audience. And even though they are trolls, let's see how many we have in there. Hands up there, you ugly trolls. They scurry away. Down. 1775. That seems low for a Sunday. Am I correct?
That was, that seems low for what?
For Thursday. Is it Thursday?
Last Thursday.
Same?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
It's been 18, 18, 18, and then it dropped to 17.5, and it's been stuck there for some reason.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to have them here.
It's the fear of inflation or something.
The fear of inflation. I can't consume bandwidth. I'm afraid it's too expensive. These trolls can be joined by you. All you have to do is go to noagendastream.com, or if you want to, trollroom.io. Even better, perhaps, is get a new podcast app at newpodcastapps.com. You can use the live function. So the same app where you get your podcast, it'll now alert you when the show is live. You tap on it just like you'd listen to any regular episode, except it opens with the stream and with the troll room. Does it get any better than that? I think not. And, of course, you can follow us. We always have a comment thread also in the new podcast apps, if you're interested, at noagendasocial.com. So you can comment across the entire Fediverse. So it doesn't matter what Mastodon server you're using or variant thereof, you can participate. Just go ahead and follow Adam at noagendasocial.com or John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com. As we congratulate and thank the artist for episode 1471, we titled that Publical Emergency. I love people who say, hey, man, you have a typo in your title.
Really?
Yeah, it happens.
Wow.
Public. Well, it's because people haven't listened to the show yet. Now, the art, I got questioned on this art by multiple people. This was Heaven's Gate, I would say, the stairway to heaven. We have Her Majesty the Queen the honorable President Joe Biden, and of course the ever revered Volodymyr Zelensky, as I continue to hold that that both the two of the three are dead already, and one is on the way.
Yes, which resulted in this artwork, which was an upgrade from the last artwork, which we also complained about, and the complaints were addressed not the way I'd like to see them addressed, but they were addressed better, so the art's more readable.
It was hilarious. It was very funny that this was something we said we might have chosen if the lettering was done better. And so he did that, correct the record, did that, and then added Zelensky to the mix.
Zelensky to
that
the piece.
That was pretty good. What else did we see that we liked?
Well, the piece I liked the most, I like that piece for the show, but the piece I like the most as a piece that should be on a coffee mug. This is the coffee mug piece of probably the year.
Yes,
the
best. Sir Paul Couture.
Paul Couture did a generalized logo piece that is absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
It just says old-fashioned deconstruction, media deconstruction, no agenda. It's just, but it's sharp. It's colors are good. It's everything about this piece is just spells mug. It needs to be on a coffee mug, a black mug.
Yes. Did I get the artist? What did I say?
Correct the record.
Correct the record. That's correct, right? Yeah, correct the record.
Yeah, it's correct the record.
It's in now. I used the Sir Paul Couture thing for the pre-stream announcement today. It is a beautiful piece. It really is.
Now the piece, we'd like some other pieces. We like the Where's Biden kind of. I like the No Agenda Boosters thing, but it was unusable. And this is a Capitalist Agenda, who's generally probably one of the more advanced artists of the ilk in terms of doing this sort of art. This cover art is dynamite. But I objected to the red on red. It's just, I don't care.
Oh,
it's
got a little
outline.
That's
I don't care.
Right.
I don't know what he's thinking.
You're like, it's red on red. This, you're thinking wrong. It's a non-starter. We're done with you.
No, it's red on red. No. Nah. Yes. That was rejected.
And also it made the Coca-Cola kind of logo very hard to read for me, from my eyes.
Yeah.
I liked the Burke's dog. It wasn't right for a number of reasons, but it was just kind of funny to see the dog.
Oh, yeah, because you and your dog face joke. Yes. Very insulting piece.
Very insulting. I meant it was intended as such.
Dame Kenny Ben, she's a woman. She can do it.
And then was all this monkeypox? Was that the previous episode?
It wasn't going to. I already bitched about it. It wasn't going to happen.
Oh, right.
There was a couple pieces. You liked the Chomsky piece.
No, I didn't. I didn't like any Chomsky piece. That's not true. Just making it up.
That's because you're a big supporter of a comic strip blogger.
No, I'm not. Snip for Humanity, we looked at it, but it was not. It was not coherent. But I liked the idea of Snip for Humanity, which was Tonta Neal's piece. But no.
Yeah, it needs to have more dimensionality in terms of its humor.
Yeah. I like people. People bitch about us. Surprise. Like, why do you have any rules, man? Shouldn't it be just freedom of speech? Does any artist do what he wants? I say, of course you can do whatever you want.
Who said that?
The same guy who didn't get chosen. Sir Bill Walsh, Sir Saturday. He's all pissed off. He's always pissed off. Because both of us have blocked him.
What piece does he do?
He did the monkeypox.
A couple of problems with that monkeypox thing. The monkey itself is stolen. He didn't design that monkey.
Yeah.
And then it's just a monkey with a bunch of pox all over him.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's bitching like, there shouldn't be any rules. No, there's no, you can upload whatever you want. We're just not going to
pick there's
it.
No rules for uploading. Put in whatever you want. We'll get a kick out of it.
And by the way,
the two of us have the same vote.
Yeah.
So if one of us doesn't like one specific kind of thing, it's never going to get picked.
And one
of the things I don't like is gruesomeness. Mm-hmm. I don't like things that are ugly and then you associate the show with ugliness.
Correct.
No.
Correct.
Not happening. So
yeah,
that's pretty simple.
Yeah, It is completely simple. It's open for anyone to participate. And we are incredibly grateful for the work that the artists do. No other podcast has this amount. I mean, has an not just new artwork during each episode, but can choose from a Scala pages. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I got the download of the art. I don't have the artist's name on these art pieces, but I did, at least I got a download of all the art.
Oh, goodness. Is it categorized by date or is it just
it's a date. Yes, it's done by show number.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's the stuff that's been approved. It's not everything. It's the stuff that made
No, I wanted everything.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
I have everything. I have art piece ever submitted. Guess the number.
29,000.
22,000.
Okay. That was close. Yeah. And that's been for how many years? Maybe 10, 12? How many years have you been doing it?
I'd have to look at I think he started. When did the show start? What year?
I don't remember. 2007.
It's 2 years after our start. So it would be
2009.
13 years of stuff. 12 to 13 years of stuff.
And anyone can follow along by going to noagendaartgenerator.com and just refreshing during the live show. Or you can go there anytime you want just to see cool art. A lot of this makes it onto t-shirts, mugs, hats, hoodies at noagendashop.com, where the artist gets a piece of the action and the show gets a donation. It's really wonderful. It's an exemplar.
I think that's the right word.
It's exemplar of the value for value model, I think.
Usage may be questionable.
Yeah. it's always questionable when I'm trying to do that. You can also contribute. All you have to do is just upload something and you never know. We really do appreciate all of our artists. Now to thank our executive producers and associate executive producers for helping us with the treasure part of the three T's, time, talent, treasure. We go to our executive and associate executive producers, kicking it off with Kevin Fatt. I guess I would pronounce it F-A-T-T-E, Fatt. You think you would Fatty or would it just be
Fatty? It wouldn't be Fatty. There's no way.
I don't think so. Anyway,
hey, Fatty.
His name is going to change anyway, so it's not a problem because he becomes an instant knight for Omaha, Nebraska with $1,000. Please knight me as Sir Mindfall. Sir Mindfall. I like it. And he would like a 2 to the head and some goat karma. Thanks for all you do. Well, we're very happy to help you there. Except we missed the goat karma. There it is.
You've got karma.
So now you have Roderick Powell in Sweden with $899.84. I don't have a note from him. You might.
I don't, but it sounds like it would be someone from the Netherlands who might be in Sweden because it sounds like a very, very Dutch name. But I don't have it.
Okay, well, he'll send something in if he has something to say. Otherwise, give him the double karma.
He gets the double karma shot. That is on deck for him.
You've got double up. Karma.
And I'll go right to Vert Fuller in Batavia, New York. Wert, probably, but Vert. 41596. He sent a check in with a note on Stars and Stripes letterhead. In the morning, John and Adam, right to it. In other words, when he says that, he means short note, and I mention that because of what's coming. This is a picture of my New York tag 41596.noagenda. I'm hoping to go up to 99999 of us that listen to No Agenda. Also, so he sent a picture and we were trying to figure out what it was.
Is this his license plate?
It was a license plate. But it was also something else. It was hard to tell.
I only got the note. I didn't get the picture scanned.
Yeah, we didn't scan it because it didn't seem to make sense. Anyway, we hope to get 99999, all of us that all listen to the No Agenda show. Also, my check for 41596 is to show my appreciation for the best podcast in the world. Charm for all. That's what he says.
Charm for all, and, back at you.
And a big yak karma.
And we got some yak for you.
You've got karma.
Matt Hyde is in Brighton, East Sussex, GB, Great Britain, 333.33. Yeah, we appreciate the official. He's the only one that came in with that number as one of our favorite executive producer donations. He has a very long note, of which I'm not going to read very much of it because it is his private medical information. I don't know if he wanted us to share all of that. I would err on the... for safety, I would err on the side of no. But let's start here with the beginning of his note. No, I mean it's really it's a horrible story. After a reprehensible delay in donating, I checked into a hotel in Nairobi, and the room number was 33. I knew it was time to continue my journey to knighthood after a few lean years. Apologies. And then he says, I want to share my experience having had to accept the vaccine into my life under duress like a good slave. I have to travel due to my work as a dude named Ben for one of the world's largest OS cloud overlords. I was dosed with two times Moderna vaccines 3 months apart, and except for some flu-like symptoms, I was fine. Fast forward 6 months, and I had to take a booster, which I put off as long as possible until December 2021. On arrival at the Human Drug Experimentation Center, I was told to take the Pfizer shot on top of the previous Modernas. A day later, I got sick, really sick. This persisted. I developed an awful cough, constant high temperature, lethargy, and was working during the week with difficulty and sleeping all weekends and not helping at home with the kids. I felt horrific. Well, I can tell you this, this story goes on, and he's been misdiagnosed and he's been told to shut up. And he's been in and out of the hospital. No explanation has ever been offered by the medics as to why I got so sick and apparently temporarily immunocompromised. The family doctor wouldn't entertain the idea that the vaccine had done this. He literally laughed me off as a crazy anti-vaxxer, which pissed me right off. Yeah, I can understand. How can an otherwise fit, healthy person be so screwed up straight after the shot when there are no differential diagnosis or rational cause for primary symptoms? Coincidence? I think not. Total bollocks. Yes, I'm sorry to tell you that you've been had in that regard.
A friend of mine, just I was recontacted with, had been got some crazy ailment in his intestines, ended up going to the hospital, then having a heart attack in the hospital, then just one thing, an anemia, which they can't seem to get rid of. And this is all right after he's got his booster.
Now, does your friend connect it to the booster?
Nope. He's a good Democrat.
Oh, goodness.
He doesn't connect the dots at all.
Well, we're gonna hand out a yak karma to our friend here.
You've got...
Thanks, Matt.
Karma.
You know, that now the military is definitely mandating vaccines. I'm getting a whole influx again. It's so sad to read notes from people who have maybe 7 or 6 years to go until military retirement. And now they're being forced to accept the vaccine into their lives. And they're going to do it. Here's what they consistently say. I'm going to take the Novavax because at least it's not mRNA.
The Novavax is not very safe, but
I'm sad when I hear this. Like you're making these decisions. You're being forced into it. Forced.
Yeah, the Novavax will be a fallback.
Yeah.
And it's not a crazy idea. All right.
Well, you go take it then if you think it's no crazy idea.
It's not a crazy idea. If you have to take something or get shot in the head, which is basically what they're trying to do, I'd probably take that.
I would say losing your job and career is not quite the same as getting shot in the head.
Well, yeah. Some people
it. But yeah, if we all do it, then yeah, if we all comply, then it'll never end. That's what it is.
Well, don't comply.
No.
I said if I was in the mood to. I don't have a shot. I'm good to go.
You're unleaded, baby.
I'm pure.
You're pure blooded and unleaded.
Daniel Estes in Traverse City, Michigan, 333. First donation, please de-douche.
You've been de-douched.
Call out Sean Monroe.
Douchebag.
And Dalton.
Douchebag.
Both from Traverse for being douchebags. Love you guys. Please keep being awesome.
We do that in our spare time. Christopher Meacham is in Huntsville, Alabama, 333. I've been listening since 6 months to the No Agenda Show. You guys have saved my sanity, although not always my friendships, for well over a decade now. Wait a minute. He's been listening for He's been listening since 6 months into the No Agenda Show. He's an old timer.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
Yeah, not your friendships. Huh, there you go. There's not a lot of people who enjoy getting hit in the mouth, after all. Upgrade your friend circle. Shameless plug warning. Here we go. You've also been the majority of my encouragement to move forward with my writing and audio editing skills to create my first sci-fi radio show podcast, The Smuggler's Log, which can be found with pride at podcastindex.org and at thesmugglerslog.com. Oh, I got to check that out. This donation should put me over the line for my knighthood, so I'd like to be known as Sir Mechamus Prime, Knight of the Moon Bases of Cybertron. At the round table, of course, at least he put pronunciation guides. At the round table, I would be so humbly grateful to imbibe Energon alongside the key to Victor Segma. Okay. No karma, but can I get a jet flyby? A whoop-em. Nice. What are you drinking?
Polar. All natural. Yeah. Seltzer. Caffeine-free.
Yummy. A jet flyby, whoop-em with a constitution, and finish it off with the two to the head. You got it. I don't actually have a jet flyby, but that'll have to do. There you go. Mechamus Prime. We'll see. I think he's the only one on the podium today, I believe. So
yeah, we're dropping down to associate executive producer with Dame Astrid.
Yay, there they are again.
Yeah.
They're alive.
Sir Mark, Duchess and Duke of Japan, and all the disputed islands in the Japan Sea. $222.22 a row of ducks in there in Tokyo.
Yeah, this was a great
Japan
note.
Is ahead. Sorry?
This is a great note.
Oh, yeah, it's a great note, but it's even better if you got the note.
Pictures, because of the pictures, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to use those pictures in a column about bug eating.
Explain.
I'm going to put the pictures. I'm going to talk about bug.
And what that meant was read the note.
Oh. Japan is ahead of the game. The bamboo worms, armor tail scorpions, silkworm pupae. This is a funny word. I should know how to pronounce. Black ants, etc., are readily available for the misses in vending machines.
Masses.
Or the masses in vending machines. In other words, there's vending machines. He's got pictures. They sent him in, or she sent him in, and it shows all these bugs you can buy by putting in a token of some sort. The hefty price tag, they're not cheap. By the way, that really is ironic. The hefty price tag suggests you are actually eating a healthy supplement and you are supporting SDGs while doing so. It couldn't be better. Love and lit, Dame Astrid plus Sir Mark, Duke and Duchess.
Yeah.
So
well, that makes sense. This is the velvet rope concept. Make it sound really exclusive and people will flock to it like morons.
Yeah, like morons is exactly the deal. And we're not talking about a vending machine or two. We're talking about a variety of machines and a huge variety of bugs to eat.
It's truly it's filled with bugs.
Wow. Now, I've got other pictures I'm going to use, which I got pictures of dog food made from bugs.
Yum.
And then I was watching Patty Hinich, who's my favorite Mexican cook, on public radio, public broadcasting. And she was on making, she went to some place, some hellhole in Mexico, where they eat, I think it's Oaxaca, but and I'm going to get a clip of this for the show. They're eating these mezcal worms. Hmm. And they eat them.
You mean that's the thing that's in the tequila bottle?
In the mezcal bottle, usually. Right. And this old cheap crap mess, because you don't see it in quality stuff anymore. It's almost rare. But she mentioned that in passing, it's kind of the giveaway is that, yeah, we eat these bugs because in the olden days, we couldn't get meat. This is our fallback protein. So it's said, yeah, they're poorest of the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. This is the worst. And this is one step beyond mac and cheese for the masses. It's poor people food.
It's interesting. Yes, poor people food. And it's interesting how in Japan, they take a page from the lobster playbook, which is, hey, that we used to feed that those bottom crawling pieces of crap crustaceans. We used to feed them to prisoners. And then we just remarketed that. And it's like, oh, $40 a pound is lobster. Wow, the greatest catch. Wow, fantastic. And since this is a content segment, donations. In the United States, we haven't quite figured out that yet, but we're starting to get there. We've brought in the latest celebrity to help us learn how to eat bugs. Did you see this?
Probably.
Colbert Show with Robert Downey Jr.
It's incredibly comfortable. Now, what is this? This looks like I could make cocoa with this. What is...
Right.
What is that?
Well... that's an insect-based premium protein. It's made from Molitor, which is mealworm larvae. The company is called Insect. This is in France. This is for fertilizer. Mm-hmm. And as you have there, this is a powder derived from the mealworm, and it's a insect protein just been approved by the EU.
Yum.
For human consumption.
You're not just getting me to eat dirt, are you?
No, man. I wouldn't play you, bro. We're like one. We're like one entity now.
What more do we know from that news conference?
That thing that he just did there, Robert Downey Jr. No, we're on one entity, bro. That is a very standard Hollywood way of saying "fuck you." You've probably heard this before, because Colbert is like makes a joke, and Robert Downey Jr. is like, instead of saying no, it's really true, he said, "No, man, I wouldn't play you." It's like we're a single entity, man. That is a big F you in Hollywood, which is interesting.
You're not just getting me to eat dirt, are you?
No, man, I wouldn't play you, bro. We're like one entity now.
It's essentially tasteless. It's just a protein supplement.
Exactly.
I could put this in a smoothie or something.
I'm telling you. Yep. And they'll be making all kinds of stuff out of it.
By the way.
It is the making of it is severely reducing the amount of emissions it takes.
It is
innovation, Justin. We're doing something incorrectly. If we make this switch, it's a huge, huge intervention.
Oh, step forward for mankind, a huge intervention.
Does anyone here put money on the fact that Downey's got an investment in one of these companies?
Of course. That's why he was there, to promote his bug company. And by the way, they're doing the numbers. If you want to replace beef farts, beef with bugs, you're going to have a lot more bugs than we have right now. And bugs also emit methane. They don't fart, but they burp, and they emit methane. It may be the same or worse as cows.
Methane.
I like saying methane.
I know you do. It just sounds funny.
Well, that's because you're not British like me.
But I'll say this. This is disgusting. That's the disgusting clip of the day.
We don't have one for that.
I know. Sounds like we're going to need one.
What? Didn't someone make one of those? Disgusting.
Nope.
Disgusting.
Nope.
Yes.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Told you.
No.
I don't know what that was.
I said corrected.
Okay.
You're up.
I'm up, yes. Martin from Halifax, Scandinavia. Row of ducks, 222.22. It's been more than a year since my last donation, so please de-douche me. No?
You've been de-douched.
Last time I send you the dirty oil fiat money, you guys for some reason skipped or missed the jobs karma I requested. Well, I'm sure it was just because we missed it. This resulted in changing my mediocre and boring job at the end of the world with a new one, even more mediocre and more boring this time, in the middle of the desert at the capital of the Magic Kingdom, Riyadh. Ah. Do you know Sir Dave Fugazzotto? You two might get along. Benefit is that the keeper can visit, and the sinful capital of the Middle East, Manama, is only 5 hours away. The new company is so woke and diverse that sometimes my local co-workers look shocked on the workshops for diversity and culture. Their values are deeply questioned from these meetings, but I assume they stay because they need the jobs. You bet. Even with such intrusions, we are far from the wokeness of my country, Scandinavia, or the U.S., where this madness is slowly sipping from. My hope is to be a full-time pensioner until the woke culture arrives here. But enough about my career failures. With this donation, I would request, if possible, another jobs karma with hope to find something better than this nightmare and get out. Excuse me. Additionally, if possible, health karma for my little daughter who suffers from scoliosis, and the ex is committed to throw her into the Scandinavian healthcare system, which means very serious surgery and months of recovery. For me, on the other side, brings sleepless nights. Understood, brother. Thank you for all the incredible value you bring, and promise the gap between this and my next donation won't be that big. So let me get this this good Samaritan a TPP jobs, eh? Let's do that.
Jobs.
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 Jobs. Jobs. Jobs.
Jobs.
You've got karma.
And there's health baked into that for the little one. Thank you very much, Martin.
Rob Mariah, I think.
Sounds
Mariah,
right.
I think so.
Mariah.
In Salem, Mariah. New Hampshire, $200.33 ITM. Hurry, I need a de-douching.
Yeah, we got it.
You've been de-douched.
I've been listening since Adam's first Rogan appearance. Well, that's nice. I work on medical imaging equipment for Siemens and was forced to accept the vax into my life or get terminated and be unable to collect. I don't have any reactions, but I called out sick for a couple of days to inconvenience them to the best of my ability.
That'll show them.
Yeah, why not? Anyways, I haven't seen a busy hospital since 2019, and now most of them are understaffed.
Yep.
Can I get a jobs, health, and relationship karma for all my fellow slaves?
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
Yes, indeed. Sir Grease Monkey of the West Texas Oil Fields in Odessa. 200.22, Sir Grease Monkey of the West Texas Oil Fields all-inclusive boob donation. Ah, okay. What do we have here? 08 plus 60, 06 plus 60, 08 is 200 plus 80 plus 22, big boobs, small boobs, weird boobs, all the boobs. I'm sure your accounting is spot on, Sir Grease Monkey. Thank you very much, and we accept that on the behalf of the boobs. Thank you for your courage.
And last on our short list, we've been getting shorted here recently, and here we are again. Brian Telecki in Lincoln, Nebraska, has got a birthday, by the way, $200. I heard Adam on the Tom Woods Show in July of 2020. I've been hooked ever since. De-douche me, please.
You've been de-douched.
Hand me to the birthday list. I'll be 40 on Saturday. Jingles, Obama's Chicken Dance, Nose, Chicken Dance Nose, and Yak Relationship Karma, please.
Oh, the two don't, they go together well.
Hey, listen.
Hey,
you've got karma.
Oh, and that's it.
Yeah, sure it is again. This is the third show in a row we haven't done that well. The way, I kind of miss the guys who used to do that kind of end of show mix.
Yeah.
And jingle.
Yeah, I know.
It's creative. They're using something that somebody's saying, they're saying something dumb. And then they're turning it. You can put it into a synthesizer and then tune the key and you can do something, be kind of fun. There's a lot of stuff like this not being done anymore. Now it's just kind of I wouldn't say it's self-absorbed, but it's not, the material's not as good.
See, well, it comes and goes. I mean, okay, man, why don't you throw all the end of show mixers under the bus, okay?
I just did.
Jeez, that's not cool, Dvorak. All right, well, you're not allowed to listen to today's end of show.
I wanted to up their game a little bit.
Yeah, well,
that's what I'm doing. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. I'm not naming names.
No, 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 but we felt it. You're buzz-killing them. Typical.
Well, that's what I do.
Thank you to these executive and associate executive producers who receive these very titles, official titles. You can use them anywhere. Credits like this, title credits, are recognized. IMDb is one place. Go take a look. You'll see LinkedIn, your CV, your resume. It does seem to help a lot of people. And it's also just cool. And it's virtue signaling. That's just what it is. Virtue signal that you're part of No Agenda Nation. And if you'd like to become a producer of the No Agenda Show, you can learn more here.
Dvorak.org/NA.
And we thank you for producing episode 1471 of the best podcast.
Our formula is this.
In the universe.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Hey, I got to play something. I got to play something for you. I'm on my own. The clip custodian came through today for me, which was fantastic, particularly with the summer flu, summer cold. And he heard us talking about the Good Samaritan for the mall shooter. And he put a supercut together for us. Which is where you go, wow, that's great. That's cool.
Yes. Well, I don't know which way it goes. I mean, is it just a bunch of people bitching about this guy?
No,
it was all the media guys were doing instead of praising him and saying, hey, good work.
What more do we know from that news conference about the Good Samaritan who apparently shot and killed the shooter there and is being held a hero?
Yeah, Kenneth, authorities repeating over and over how grateful they are for this Good Samaritan.
Chief Jim Eisen said he had no doubt the Good Samaritan's quick actions saved lives.
The Good Samaritan was also legally armed and took out that shooter.
The shooter was confronted by our Good Samaritan, who I will identify in just a moment. The Good Samaritan was armed with a pistol and engaged the shooter.
The man police call a Good Samaritan with a gun has been identified as 22-year-old Elijah Dickin.
But with this Good Samaritan thing, listen, I was trained when I was at the Justice Department in firearms, and I was trained in defensive firearm training. Mm-hmm. It is very hard to hit a moving target. It is hard for people that are trained to hit a moving target. It is very lucky that Good Samaritan hit that moving target in that way. And he had a gun permit, but he wasn't supposed to be in the mall with a gun.
Yeah, the whole point was the Good Samaritan meme.
Yeah, Good Samaritan. And
why they have?
Well, I heard that last clip. I've heard versions of that where he shouldn't have been there. He didn't have a license. He didn't do that, which is all nonsense because the law has changed in Indiana.
Yeah,
but and not being in the mall, he was illegally. They said one person said he was illegally in the mall. We're not supposed to have a gun in the mall. And it turns out that no, it's a mall rule. They could throw you out, but there's no legal aspect to it. There's no law in the books that say you go in a mall. So I mean, these people, it's actually pathetic.
Yeah,
I think reaction they had instead of saying this guy was great and he hit his target over and over again. I think he was just nailing it while moving because he practices a lot. And he's a marksman, and so okay, we should condemn him for this. Well, I tried it, and I couldn't hit the side of a barn. I never heard anything like this. It's just like, well, the guy should get a medal from Biden, but he won't get one.
No, he gets the Good Samaritan meme, which is, I think, the only way I can deconstruct that is, well, you know, those people who like guns, they're religious right-wing nut jobs, but okay, he's a good one.
Well, they didn't. The moniker Good Samaritan is diminutive in this regard.
Yes,
it makes it sound like somebody helping an old lady cross a puddle or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well done.
All right, so I have, what do I have here?
You got something.
This is a, and I stole this clip from Tucker. I just took it right out of his show. Okay. Because it's a pretty good clip, and they take stuff from us.
Oh no, I would say it was fantastic to see Tucker go off on SSRIs right after we had done SSRIs on the show.
Yeah,
I mean, but this is a good, just helps. Our show notes are helpful. That's my point. We publish all the articles, all the clips. Yep. We give it to everybody. No, everybody can take what they want and use for their show. We're proud of it.
So this is a very good clip about sterilization. And the argument was being made, it's on NBC, and the argument was being made by their show that they're promoting it. And I thought they were kind of promoting it amongst the men. Get snipped. And it looks like a lot of women are getting their tubes tied. They're taking themselves out of the gene pool, which, okay, you want to do that? Just probably better. But let's listen to these two girls. It's actually a report plus two women, girls, that were going, well, I don't want to bat them like kids.
A staggering number of women are now considering permanent sterilization procedures. Following the Supreme Court decision, Google searches for procedures like tube tying or tubal ligation, SURGE. I traveled to Austin, Texas, where I spoke with three women about how the latest abortion restrictions affected their decision.
I don't want any more. I'll be 27 in October, and I'm just done.
You're done?
I'm done.
So are you for sure that sterilization is something that you want to do or just something you want to learn more about?
I think it's something for sure I want.
So, Megan, you already had your tubes removed?
Yeah.
Yes. And Ashley, you're about to begin the procedure?
Yeah, I'm in the process of consultations.
What was behind the timing of when you decided to have this procedure?
After the draft decision was leaked, I decided to schedule the procedure. I've always known I didn't want children, and I didn't want to be in a position where I didn't want children and would lack access to contraception as well. So, like Megan, I have always known that I didn't want kids.
Let's be honest, there's a lot of judgment around the decision to have this procedure, around this decision in general.
Right.
What do you say to people who don't understand?
Sterilization or permanent contraception is just as permanent as choosing to have a child, right? So a lot of the arguments against it, like, well, what if you regret it? You could say the same thing about having a kid.
Yeah, that's right. NBC on the eugenics train. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Promote it. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, exactly. No, this is exactly what it is.
Yeah. I think people that are self-sterilizing, which used to be used for criminals,
mm-hmm.
but just to self-sterilize be for the good of humanity or for your own personal greed because you don't like kids. I hate kids. And so it really is okay if you want to do that.
Well, there's a couple of things that are very interesting in this report. One is she says, I'm in consultation. So you have to go through consultation to be sterilized by having your tubes tied. It's there's a term for it. It's a tubalectomy or something. Tubalonia.
Tubal ligation.
Yeah, there you go. But yet if you want to transition and sterilize, no problem. Don't need your parents or anything. Good to go.
Oh, good point. That's a good catch.
Like, how does that work?
Yeah.
You could have taken these exact same young women and said, why are you doing this? Roe v. Wade? No, this is for climate change. It's the same women. It's the same
thing.
No,
it's the same. It's exactly the same women.
You could actually just insert different questions. It's there you go. It's working. 500 million. We'll eventually get down there, people. We just keep it up. Looking good. Idiotas.
It's unbelievable to me. But
is it really though? Is it really?
It's kind of because it's like there's not, these are not thoughtful people. And maybe if they want to take themselves, it's a natural selection process. You set it up, you put the options out there and you set it up in such a way, you see for one thing how dumb they are. You can figure that out pretty quickly. And then you let them then you give them some choices that are a little bit out there, but do they pick the choice? And it's all self-serving. that's self-selecting. It's fantastic.
And I think that, you know, there was no mistake, perhaps, that Tucker had did the SSRI segment on the, I think it was the same show. I think it was. You know, we didn't mention it because I didn't get to it. But there is a new study out that completely refutes the entire reason for SSRIs, which is this so-called chemical imbalance. And it turns out you're not depressed because you have a chemical imbalance. That is a lie. And they don't really know why you're depressed or why SSRIs work. But
well, there's some reports that say they don't work at all. It's all bullcrap.
Well, in my opinion, they have the opposite. In fact, listen to the disclaimers. We've been playing drug disclaimers for years and laughing about the stuff that could happen to you. And especially with antidepressants and other serotonin retake up inhibitors, whatever, SSRI, it always includes self-harm, suicide, crazy stuff. And it's particularly women who are targeted by this. One of our producers on her own has been doing this little experiment for me. I think it's a magazine called Her or Hers. It's an online magazine and you can sign up, and it's like a women's thing. And they are advertising for you to get Lexapro, and you can do it right online. And you have to sign up. You have to, you know, give your information just like for any other. And in fact, you get a telemedicine appointment. A telemedicine appointment to see if you should be on Lexapro, which is not a mild antidepressant. They're handing the shit out like candy everywhere. Yeah. It's no different from the opioid crisis, which, by the way, I'm also convinced the opioids. Yeah, we can blame China. We can blame Mexico. What do you think the odds are that maybe we're running all this crap through Ukraine and the military or some other, you know, Air America is running this into our communities? Wouldn't it make sense? Didn't we see that before? Same playbook. And I don't think it's coming through people shoving some pills up their butt and crossing the border.
No, it'd be institutionalized.
It's institutionalized, and I'm pretty convinced it's the same. Go watch the, was it American President? Is that the American Gangster?
No.
American Gangster.
American Gangster, yeah. That's a terrific movie.
And it's true.
It's a true movie. I have one more clip since we're on this topic and you'd like to talk about it. This is from last show, and this is the clip is called Ticks White Women. This is one of these TikTok videos, and this is a white woman bitching this is another one of these negative, let's don't have children, they suck, they're going to, everything about it is bad.
Hey, John, 1 second. In general, for a large part of our lives, will you agree with me that your kids do suck?
My kids don't suck at all.
The kids suck from time to time.
Oh, once in a while they're fussy, yeah, but they don't suck. You brought this up before.
I can never get you to admit it.
It's not true. I get more out of them than I put in. I've taken advantage of the
But you're
kids.
Old school. Exactly. You had kids and you put them to work right away. See, that is not the way most people treat children these days. That, you know, they're treated as, you know, holy, and they, you know, can't be harmed, and don't bully them.
No, you get,
and you put them right to work in the corporation, in the family business. I've always appreciated that. You have them binding books, you know, putting glue in there.
They like fingers work to the bone. They need to be busy.
Yes, it's true.
So this is a woman, and you could look at her and say, and not to go into the appearance of people, but since we brought up smugly earlier, she's not smugly per se, but as she goes on and on, she becomes smugly. And here she is.
Buckle in, I'm gonna get brutally honest. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Who created these monsters? We did. We birthed them. We nursed them. We read their little nursery rhymes and sing the little songs. We taught them in their preschools and their kindergartens and their first and third grades. white women craft their own gilded cage. And we do it by raising little misogynistic, patriarchal tyrants. We raise the little boys.
Oh, nice.
Who grow up to be the Donald Trumps, the Mitch McConnells, the Greg Locks of this world. White women raised them. Now I hear you on the last sentence. When these little tyrants grow up and abuse us and we speak out about it, yeah, we're going to be institutionalized. We'll be called crazy. And this hits home personally. One of my grandmothers was institutionalized. And when I look back at her story, I'm convinced she had complex PTSD because of domestic violence. I don't think she was crazy at all. And we could look at her life specifically and see what kind of choices did she really have. I mean, it was her husband, my grandfather, who crafted her fate. But as a whole, white women raise the white boys who grow up to be the tyrants. And until we own that fact, it will be a perpetual truth. The truth is, most white women are perfectly fine in the comfort of their gilded cage. Family first, America first, and all that garbage.
Oh, goodness. A white woman, of course. Self-loathing white woman. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, my.
And by the way, her grandmother, who is institutionalized, it proves there is a genetic element to all these some insanities.
Here's a formerly black baby, now all grown up, if you want to hear some racist stuff. And this will simultaneously turn the topic. This is Malcolm Nance. As you know, Malcolm Nance, very brave man. Joined the Ukrainian Resistance Front Movement, Inc., LLC.
The Foreign Legion.
Foreign Legion, went over there, wrote a book about, didn't fire his gun, but he always had it with him. And he's in the intel community. He is loathed, I might add, by military. I've gotten so many emails. This guy, he's also a kind of stolen valor type dude. But anyway.
Totally.
Let's hear some racist crap from Malcolm Nance.
The attackers and the insurrectionists were all camouflaged. They were camouflaged and closed on their enemies and couldn't be seen because they had white skin. And the cops are like, it's just white Trump voters. Yeah, a bunch of loudmouth Walmart shoppers, right? Yeah, until the first spear went into their face, until the first bear spray was sprayed across the entire line. But the problem is that belief that those people would do nothing, would be benign, allowed them to close upon their enemies and smash their lines. In the military, you got to have a jungle for that, to carry out an ambush of that level of intensity, right? You have to have some form of massive camouflage. Well, they had the camouflage of white people won't do anything.
Gotta love it. You got white skin, your camouflage from law enforcement.
So his idea of camouflage is being white.
Yep. You'd need a jungle to pull that off. But no, if you're white, it's just Walmart shoppers. Oh, goodness.
That guy. How do they give him airtime?
Well, because he's willing.
He is the classic shuck and jive artist. I brought it up before. I'll bring it up again.
Yeah, because he's. I mean, you can't deny he's entertaining. I mean, it's funny to listen to.
Yeah, but he's entertaining in the same way that Anna, what's her name? Anna Navarro.
Anna the Kill My Kid with Down Syndrome.
Yeah, Anna Navarro, who wants to kill all her relatives, you know, after the fact.
I got a lot of pushback on that. People saying, well, you know, she was just making comparison between money available for services. So there's money available for abortions.
Well, that's what it was. Never mind. Yeah. She's a nice person.
Yeah, she is. Let's correct a record on that one.
By the way, that 28 days after birth thing that was done, which is something I'll mention because we talked about it after the show, which is in California.
This is the California law, yeah.
The new abortion law will let you kill your baby up to 28 days after he's born.
Perinatal, as we call it, perinatal.
It's available in some other states. It showed up, I think, in Maryland, I believe it's the other state that has something very similar.
Oh.
And you said to me, as I was bitching about this, you said, What makes you think this was an accident? Because the way it was played was, well, they lobbied it, and then they fixed this, and they fixed that, and they put this language, and they took that language out. And the litany in California is, well, it's just an accident. And it turns out it's like a reading between the lines about the 28 days. And you specifically said, what makes you think it's an accident?
Yeah.
And then I agreed. No, it was done on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also,
and it's going to be done in other states. You watch.
Which means we have franchising opportunity for our clubbing centers.
They're clubbing the babies.
Yeah. Clubbing centers.
Clubbing center.
Sign up now for our franchise opportunities. This is great. You can be a self-starter. Would you like to own your own business? Join the Curry Dvorak Children Clubbing Centers. We can make you rich beyond your wildest dreams.
And you can have little calendars that have countdowns, you know, until you can't do it.
It's a clubbing countdown.
Yeah, a clubbing countdown. The kid's 24 days old. What are we going to do, Margaret? I don't know. Yeah. Still cries a lot.
There's also quite an active trade in infant parts. Video,
oh, yeah.
Video after video I see of these ghoulish ladies, you know, in... like basically like seminars, like, hey, you got it. I need a lung. I need a foot. All right. What do you need? What kind of gestation? 24 weeks. Yeah. We got a foot for you. We got a 24-week-old foot for you. No problem. Yeah. It's not ghoulish at all. Another supercut since we're on January 6th.
What we are expecting tonight from the January 6th.
I need to say that we kind of called this because we just on the last show were saying that the finale of the January 6th committee did not have the same ratings as the season opener. I think we called season one before the talking points went out, and boy, did they.
What we are expecting tonight from the January 6th investigation is something that's been described as a season finale, not show finale, but a season finale. There may be more seasons. There may be bonus episodes.
The way that I've been talking about this hearing is that it's more the season finale than the series finale for the committee.
The season finale, as it were, of their blockbuster hearings in primetime. A season finale of sorts.
Thursday's primetime finale, so to speak.
Does this feel to you like the series finale or the season finale for the January 6th committee?
That's such a good way to put it.
We thought this was the season finale. Everybody's like, come back for more. There is hunger. There is new information. These are incendiary revelations. Even the things we thought we knew, we're learning it's a multi-dimensional scandal, right?
Shape the narrative, you know, the end of season one, as you're effectively doing, in a way that lets us know there may still be more to come and move towards that in the season two if necessary.
It almost felt as if it was like the series finale. At one point, Liz Cheney said, stay tuned for September, which is like season two.
There will be a season two, so to speak.
Last night was just the season finale. We learned another season's coming.
TV ratings stayed strong throughout the series. It's weird to say it's a series, but it was a summer series of television, and it turned out to be one of the highest rated shows of the summer.
Consider tonight the finale of season one. We will be back in September with more hearings.
We've seen all eight episodes through Thursday's season finale of the hearings. Was it a cliffhanger for you in any way?
I don't know if we'll get stuff on the Secret Service. I don't know if we'll get stuff on the military and the National Guard. I don't know if we'll get stuff on
That could be season two.
Here's what's, I mean, this is deluded and demented, first of all. But they speak as if this was a great production. And they completely feel it's like, it's Hollywood, baby. We've done it. Television is going to get that orange man. And we have a cliffhanger so we can get to you on season two. This, I've never seen it melded, politics and show business finally come together as a season.
Well, I think demented and deluded is the proper analysis. And this idea that Stelter, who was in there, saying, greatest ratings of all the summer shows.
I think he actually delivered the talking points the best, because he didn't say it was like... I have to give him credit. He said, well, you know, it's kind of weird to talk of like a season, but it really was. You know, he eased into it better than the news models, I'll say. But Did the committee, did Liz Cheney call everybody and send out a memo and said, okay, let's just, since we have our ABC executive who produced this, let's just consider it a season. We wrapped it up good, didn't we, kids? Don't you think we did a good job, folks? Oh, yes, good show. You know what they should have said? We're on hiatus. That's the next thing they're going to say.
Well, when the Republicans get in, that's what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Hiatus.
Hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran into a piece of business news that I wanted to run by you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a rejection. Meta, our friends at Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't have an account. I'm the only one I know.
No, I gave up my account years ago. Seven years ago.
Meta buying out the buyout. They tried to buy a company.
Oh.
I think they did the company a favor with this, by the way. But listen to this report.
Federal regulators are taking legal action to block Facebook parent company Meta and its CEO Mark Zuckerberg from acquiring virtual reality company Within Unlimited and the company's Supernatural Fitness app. Regulators saying they oppose the deal on the grounds it would hurt competition in the virtual reality market and also violate antitrust laws. The FTC filed a complaint today in federal court. Meta, for its part, says the regulators' claims are based on ideology and speculation.
What?
First of all, they tried to buy out some virtual reality program that shows you how to exercise so you can put your glasses on and jump up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it's going to hurt the... Where is the virtual reality market?
Yeah,
is there one?
That's what I was going to ask you. It's like, am I missing something? Is it only people who are on the... on the twit who are part of this market? I have yet to see it. It's not been introduced to me.
It's bull crap. This is one of these things where you do something out of the blue to make it look like you do something. They did what when it came to the multi-billion-dollar deal to buy Instagram? Where was the government then saying, hey, no, this is a conflict of interest. This is consolidating. This is hurting competition. Because it was. But no, there wasn't a peep. But meanwhile, this two-bit operation you never heard of that nobody uses, and it probably was a multi, probably was a sub-billion dollar deal, I'm sure. They stand, we're going to stop this.
Was this a crock. Was this the anti-competition group in the government who stopped this?
I don't know. It's just the FTC, probably.
No, because they got that new lady in who's going to kick ass. Oh, she's
flexing her muscles.
That's what I think it is. Yeah. Oh, let me just show you what's coming, Zuck. I'm not going to let you buy that workout.
It's a possibility. I'd have to look into it, but I'm not going to.
No, you have to. If this is your beat.
My beat. Mergers and acquisitions.
That's your beat. I did want to mention that Google and Amazon both have admitted that they will give the your Ring doorbell or any other type of surveillance camera you have using their systems. They will give that to the police without a warrant.
Of course.
Hello.
It stops crime, Adam.
I just feel so worthless because for years I've been saying, don't do it. You don't want this. They're going to use it against you. How did we not say from the get-go, 23andMe is a bad idea. Don't give your DNA. Oh, yeah, but I'm 10% Ashkenazi Jew.
Okay, get you got to get the time code.
Time code.
Sorry.
But it's true. And now everyone's like, oh, well, shit, man. They can target me individually if they have my DNA and kill me with some virus that is meant for me. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that data has gone to China that specific purpose, by the way. It's not like anyone's questioning it. They're sending the data to China and the Chinese are using it.
Yeah.
According to the people that have some clue to develop genetically targeted
Or genetically targeted anything. And now, it's Google's ex-wife, guys, a woman. So we could trust 23andMe.
I guess Sergey Brin's wife was having an affair with Musk or somebody.
He denies it. But I have this. I have a clip of this, I think, for some reason. Yes, here it is.
Who denies it?
The world's richest man, Elon Musk, is fiercely denying a report of a love triangle. According to the Wall Street Journal, Musk had an affair with Nicole Shanahan, wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin. The incident reportedly prompted Brin to file for divorce and ended the billionaire's friendship. In a series of tweets, Musk denied the report, saying he has only seen Shanahan twice over the last 3 years, and there was nothing romantic between them. He added that he and Brin are still friends.
Questionable. And it was, well, I read the Wall Street Journal reporting, and it was filled with, according to people familiar with the matter, according to people familiar with Musk's thinking.
Well, that's
thinking.
All they're going to get nowadays. They don't care.
And did you look at her?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to be honest about it. For the world's richest man, she's no prize, okay? A guy who can get Amber Heard should not be going after this one.
So my wife, Mimi.
That was a horrible thing for me to say, but I'm sorry.
It was a horrible thing to say, and I'm going to say something that's pretty horrible, but I'm blaming it on my wife. See, this is a mistake that what? you make this mistake by not doing that.
Okay.
So Mimi's talking. She says, did you see the pictures of Musk? And this is pretty funny the way it was structured as a joke. It becomes a pretty well-structured gag. Did you see the pictures of Musk with his shirt off? Out of some situation, he just tears his shirt off and wanders around with his, you know, pale white. She says to me, to insult me, she says, you think you're white? This guy is so pale. She goes on, and he's got no definition. I said, because I thought he took his shirt off to show that he's ripped.
No, he's got no tone.
So she says, you know what this proves? And I said, what? That Amber Heard is a whore.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda.
And we have a few people to thank for show. What is it? 1472?
72, baby.
And we're getting there. Yeah. Starting with Ryan Livesey in Sacramento, California, $100. He does have he does need a de-douching.
Okay.
You've been de-douched.
And he has a douchebag call out.
Yeah.
For Jeff.
Douchebag.
You also know what kind of cooktop I use. I'll talk about the cooktop. Remind me to talk about the cooktop.
Cooktop.
He says, you can get 800 degrees on an open flame depending on what you're using to heat it up. Cooktops rarely get that hot. You're asking for trouble. Yancey Summerer in Houston, Texas, $100. I can never pronounce his name right. Now it's so slow today that we jump right to the Kevin McLaughlin, the Duke of Luna, and lover of American boobs, Locust, North Carolina, with 8008. That's followed by Colin Cunningham in Prineville, Oregon, 8008. And he's got a birthday. We got that on there. Sir Herb Lamb, a Duke of the Deep South in Sugar Hill, Georgia, decides to come in at 8008.
Well, he's allowed.
We can do it, but I'm just surprised.
It's a beautiful thing.
Russell Curry, K-H-O-U-R-Y, which I believe is pronounced Curry.
Yeah,
is $66 from Rego Park, New York, which is probably not the pronunciation, but he needs a serious de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Sons on the birthday
list. As I can get.
James Scott in Parlin, New Jersey, $63. Got a Jersey meetup coming up. Sir Christopher, Baron of Brown County, a.k.a. Gummy Nerds in the Troll Room in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Go Packers 5678. Baron Sir Phenom in Appleton, Wisconsin, 5555. And he's got a birthday coming up. Sir Matt, defender of inappropriately named... Oh, okay. Sir Matt's the defender of inappropriately timed sarcasm, which is common.
Yep.
55-55, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say.
In Jonestown, Pennsylvania. And he's got a birthday coming up for his niece, I think. John Tucker, Omaha, Nebraska, 5510. Alexis Quinn in Uplamore, Great Britain. Uplamore.
Up yours. Uplamore's in yours.
Uplamore's. Uplamore in Great Britain somewhere. 5533. Sir Michael Anthony in Queens, New York, 5039.
A lot of birthdays today. It's unbelievable.
A lot of birthdays. Scott Nelson, Council Bluffs, Iowa, 5001. Greg Hartlob in Cincinnati.
He does have a nice note. Scott Nelson says, my grandpa drank atrazine for breakfast.
Huh. That's Sir Scott.
I believe it.
We probably did. And now the following people all are $50 donors, starting with Greg Hartlob in Cincinnati. Richard Gardner, Sir Richard, parts unknown, at least on this list. Matthew Dixon in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Aaron Weisberger in Bend, Oregon. Michael Elmore in Gastonia, North Carolina. Dale Fitch in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Danielle First in Wisconsin. Megan Warner in Boonton, New Jersey. Her husband loves the show.
Yeah. And
talked her into watching, it's listening.
His 33rd birthday coming up.
That's a big one. Chris Goodman, Leander, Texas. Douglas Ellis in New York City. Sean Morrison in Clark, New Jersey. Scott McCarthy in Lodi, California. Shauna Norberg in Seattle, Washington. Jack Schofield in Yankeetown, Florida. Jackie Weller in Grandville, Michigan, birthday. Jonathan Peckham in Bristol, Rhode Island. And we're wrapping it up with Josh Springer in Indianapolis, Indiana. You really want to say Josh Springer. $50, Indianapolis. That's our group. Pretty short list today. Total number of donors, 42. Light, and we'd like the people to consider that we need support for this show, and you should probably think about donating for Sunday.
Thank you to those who came in under $50, often for reasons of anonymity, but we have a lot of people who have kindly taken sustaining donations out, which in addition to a regular donation is a sustaining one. It's a subscription that comes back. You can determine your own. We have a number of different ones you can subscribe to. If you'd like to learn more, and if you'd like to support the best podcast in the universe with some value, returning the value that you got from the show, go here.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Yeah, a little bit of service goat karma.
You've got karma.
We've got a nice list today. John Mutchink, happy birthday to his smoking hot wife, Amy Mullen, celebrated on the 26th, 2 days ago. Sir Michael Anthony, 39, on the 27th. Colin Cunningham says happy birthday to his sultry Sicilian sweetheart, Dame Ella of the anterior communicating artery. That would be for today. Jackie Weller, happy birthday to her husband, John Weller. Baron Sir Phenom turns 55 today. Russell Corey to his son, Justin, 33 today. Sir Matt, the defender of inappropriately timed sarcasm, to his niece, Molly, for tomorrow. And the same Sir Matt, defender of inappropriately timed sarcasm, himself will be celebrating on July 30th. He'll turn 39. Brian Teleke, 40 on the 30th. And Megan Warner says happy birthday to her husband, 33, the big one, on August 1st. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday. Well, I can stop that. We don't have any title changes. We only have knights and dames, and we do have two knights. So
I got a sword back from the cleaners. Here you go. Look at this one.
Ooh, you got all the blood stains off of it. How'd they do that? That's just rubbing, I guess. Huh?
Oh, nice. Clorox.
Kevin Fats. Christopher Meacham. Gentlemen, hop on up on the podium here. Both of you are now official knights of the No Agenda Roundtable. You'll become official thanks to your support of the show in $1,000 or more after I pronounce the KV as follows. Sir Mindfall and Sir Mechamus Prime, Knight of the Moon Bases of Cybertron. For you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys, and Chardonnay. Of course, Energon alongside the key to Vector Sigma. Pepperoni rolls and pale ales, redheads and rye, geisha and sake, vodka, vanilla, bong hits and bourbon, sparkling cider, and escorts, ginger ale and gerbils. Yeah, there's the mutton and mead. Not a day goes by, not a knighting ceremony goes by without the official mutton and mead. And thank you both so much for supporting the No Agenda Show. Big value. We really could use that, and we appreciate it. And big value back to you. Of course, go to noagendanation.com/rings. Let us know your ring size. That helps. Sending out your signet ring. And you'll also find in your package some wax to seal your important correspondence with, old school, along with a certificate of authenticity. And again, thank you for supporting the No Agenda Show.
No Agenda Meetup.
No meetup reports, at least not recorded. So let's go straight. We have quite a few that are taking place today and through the next couple of days. In fact, today, 4 o'clock Tucson time. So I think you can still make it. Canyons Crown, Tucson, Arizona. Tomorrow, the Summer Sanity Backyard Barbecue for Sanity Seekers, 5 o'clock at Chamois, Portland, Oregon. The big friendly meetup at the Rail Yard, 7 o'clock, Edmond Rail Yard in Edmond, Oklahoma. Then on Saturday, Orlando Summer Meetup, noon Eastern, Hourglass Brewing, Curry Ford, hello, Orlando, Florida. The Sanity Brigade Lake Flotilla, noon at Lake Coeur d'Alene in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Also on Saturday, Willamette Valley Hub City Meetup, 2 o'clock at Kalapuya Brewing in Albany, Oregon. Dogs are people too. 2 o'clock Eastern, Fisher's Farmette, that's a private residence in Evergreen, Florida, so go to the meetup site to find out exactly where you will be meeting. Baltimore area meetup in historic OEC, 3:33 p.m. Eastern, Phoenix, Upper Main at the Ellicott City, Maryland. Ellicott City, Maryland. Then on Sunday, the Honolulu inaugural, 1 o'clock Hawaiian time, Downtown Arts Center in Honolulu, Hawaii. Okay, let's see how that goes. And on the 31st, also Sunday, the local 360 meetup, 2 o'clock at Skookum Brewery, Arlington, Washington. Man, there's more. We have the Best Damn Meetup in East Texas, Piney Woods, chapter 433 at Rotolo's Pizzeria, Longview, Texas. This is all Sunday. Local 719 meetup, 6 o'clock Mountain Time, Public House at the Alexander in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And we have the Rational Drinkers Club, 7 o'clock Mountain at Stodgy Brewery in Fort Collins, Colorado. And as a housekeeping notice, the Central Iowa Pool and Pulled Pork meetup was supposed to happen on the 30th. That has been postponed. So check noagendameetups.com for more information, for updated information. You want to be a part of these. There's not a single person who has been disappointed after going to a meetup. It's completely producer organized. Of course, we have noagendameetups.com, the website where you can schedule this. There's something about going to meet other people and you have one thing in common, this show. Everything else falls by the wayside. There's all kinds of people from all walks of life. It will enrich your life, I guarantee it. And by the way, you're going to need community when the shit hits the fan. NoAgendaMeetups.com. If you can't find one, start one yourself.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me, triggered on hell's flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. Party.
All right, I came loaded for bear today.
Well, you'll probably win.
Now, let's do yours first then. These are end of show isos.
Yeah, I got some.
Okay.
Let's start with this one, which is Estmar.
I am Isma Fundiqua in Harare.
Wow, that was horrible. What's the next one?
Help them.
Let's help them out.
No. Well, how about this one? Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening.
Oh, I like that. That's not bad. Let's see if it can weigh up against mine.
Bug off, Klaus.
How about...
All the feels. So good.
Oh, come on. That's kind of good. We have...
Cuckoo kacha!
the is this one?
Oh, no, no, no.
So I think this is the best one.
These guys are bullies.
I like that one.
Okay.
You like that one?
We can go with these guys are bullies.
Okay.
You have been out of the loop for so long.
Oh, you just throw your bone. It's like a pity move on your part here?
Uh-huh. Totally.
Wow.
Okay. I'm a good guy.
Oh, yeah, I can tell. Do we have anything of utmost importance that we need to get on the show? I think, well, we did most of the big stuff, didn't we? Are we missing anything?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm missing something.
Stolen diversity supercut.
Ooh, stolen diversity? Stolen diversity.
No, the diversity supercut that I stole.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's listen to it.
Our diversity is our strength, and our unity is our power.
And I say to them, our diversity is our strength.
Our diversity, it is still and always will be one of our greatest strengths.
Our diversity is one of our greatest strengths.
When all of God's children come together, we're going to show you that our diversity is our strength.
We share an innate understanding that our diversity is an enormous strength.
Gotta wonder, what are they really driving at, you know? What do they really want us to know? Besides that being the best example of
what they want you to know is, hey, you're out.
Exactly. Okay, everybody. And that does it for another episode of Your Media Deconstruction. Looking forward to seeing you back here in a couple of days. It'll be on Sunday. It won't take you all that long. And I'm sure there'll be lots of good stuff for us to deconstruct for you. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, where I'm still battling the BA5, I expect a full recovery by Sunday show. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak. And where I remain.
Where you remain, John C. Dvorak. Please remember us at dvorak.org/NA. That's vitally important. End of show mixes. We've got D's Laughs. We've got Guff, and we got some Neil Jones up next on noagendastream.com and thetrollroom.io. We've got, I don't know, another great show. Oh, beer, bourbon, and balderdash. How could you not want to see it? Till the next time, adios, mofos, and such.
First time in therapy, I did it on Zoom during the lockdown. Felt kinda silly, I was alone in my room. Struggling with boundaries, man, I was so consumed. Looking out for the next activity, and we tried to plan facts. But you can call me Max Curious. Like I wanna know what's been your Maxi experience. Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Jaden, Jay. Sticking these games without long-term studies is feeling like the end of days. Did you take the jab, 1-2, maybe the boost? Like Milton Freeman said, it should be your right to choose. Economists like Thomas Sowell and Glenn Lowry are very contrarian views. The mainstream news, cause the narratives can barely hold up to the not so clever rules. Talking about the talking about Clearly Thomas too. Skin folk are necessarily a king folk. Talking down to the masses like within folk. That's right, no agenda comedy. Most fun in the city. Acting like we got nothing to lose. And when Bubba smell like crash racist, so shows up with a pull tight or a noose. They propagate the front page of the news. I used to ask, what's your source? Where you even get your news? Now they ask me the same, not even a second thought. Now I ever snooze. No agenda like Bishop and Juice. Yo, we got the juice. Went back to the well, now I'm sipping Jesus juice. Well, you should try it too. With no malice in my heart, I refuse to ever lose or play the victim card forever like the fuse. Feel it in my soul, you know what we came to do. Hit you in the mouth, no agenda, we'll see you at 2. Thursday or Sunday, P.S. We love all the artists too.
He's been killing bugs professionally for 37 years. Yeah, eat bugs for 37 years. I'm not eating them.
A grub is a food that tastes like gruel and is also known as vomit. Always tripping body's protein numbers gives you the shit such a bug ass. So no, I I don't want your hunger, no. On you, I don't want to dine, no. I just wanna eat meat everywhere, no. I don't want none of your bug wine, no. I don't want no grub. A grub is a bug that's not for my tummy. Hang out in the menu sides of the restaurant hides a diet of centipede. I don't want no grub. A grub is a bug that's not for my tummy. Hang out in the menu sides of the restaurant hides a diet of centipede.
I've got a grub on my plate, but my taste buds hate the thoughts of maggots too. Or chocolate covered ant mealworms with plants. All grubs that are good fatties. So no, I don't want your hunger, no. On you, I don't want to dine, no. I just want to eat meat everywhere, no. I don't want none of your bug wine, no. I don't want no grub. A grub is a bug that's not for my tummy. Hang out in the menu size of the restaurant hires a diet of centipede. I don't want no grub. A grub is a bug that's not for my tummy. Hang out in the menu size of the restaurant hires a diet of centipede.
Bug off, Klaus.
Look at the Council on Foreign Relations. They are, in fact, the power base.
People should go Council of Foreign Relations roster and just go through the alphabet. It's amazing who's in there. Phenomenal. The people just go to S. Soros is on the CFR, and so is his kid.
Telling you our whole way of life as we know it is in jeopardy. I have the documented evidence. It's all in there. Show him.
Conspiracy review. Suppressed truth roundup.
You see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries, create an international community, and in time, bring about a one world government.
There's a lot of actors in there, a lot of actresses, but they all serve the purpose of globalism.
Master plan is exposed.
The best podcast in the universe.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
These guys are bullies.